This meeting is called to order, and this morning we have guest Pastor Mason Calway, Pastor of Media and Ministries from the Perry First Assembly of God. He's going to lead us in our prayer this morning. Pastor?
Thank you, ma'am. You bow your heads with me and let us pray. Merciful God, we thank you for the abundant goodness you have shown us. Lord, you have been a merciful giver. You have been a kind king. And we thank you for the abundant goodness that you have given to each and every one of us here today. Lord, we are in need of your goodness as our county faces many challenges. And we need you, O Lord, because you are the solver of problems. But I thank you, O Lord, that you have provided for us so many competent leaders to help guide us and lead us through these difficult challenges. And I ask you, Lord, that as they are gathered here today, that you would grant each and every one of them wisdom, that they would be able, Lord, by the gifts and talents which you have provided for them, lead us well. That in a day and age when so many have lost faith in their leaders, the young people of Taylor County and the old would have ample reason to be grateful for the leadership you have provided for us. Grant us all this grace, Lord. And in all things, help us to serve you well. In the name of Jesus Christ we pray, and in his will we rest. Amen.
Amen. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I want to thank you, Pastor Calloway, for being here today. Thank you for your prayers. Come back anytime. We really appreciate our local pastor to come and lead us in prayer. So just anytime you want to come back, we'd love to have you.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you. I want to welcome everyone else here today. Thank you for being here. Just a couple of things. We have a room full of people. If you've not silenced your cell phone, if you don't mind to do that at this time. And anyone that wants to speak, I will try to recognize you. If you'll raise your hand, we'll give you about 3 minutes to speak. If there's something that you want to talk about that's not on the agenda today, on toward the end of the agenda will be a time where you can come forward and state your name and address and have 3 minutes to discuss whatever it is you need to. If it's something that needs further looking into, then we can schedule that on another agenda. With that being said, we're going to move on to item number 3, approval of the agenda. We have some changes to the agenda today. I'm going to move 13A to 12A, and that's Sheriff Wayne Paget and Bradford County Sheriff Gordon Smith to appear for an award presentation and to address the board concerning the pros of merging emergency management with the sheriff's office. I am going to add 12B, the board to further discuss emergency management operations. I'm going to add 12C, the board to consider approving a contract with Pfeiffer Industries for construction of the new public works office as attended by Dana Griner, building official. I'm going to add 16A. The board to consider approval of human resources policies as agended by Marcia Gurdon, Human Resources Director. And I'm going to add 19A. The clerk to discuss with the board a salary issue. Are there any other additions, deletions, or changes to the agenda?
Not here.
Not here.
Okay. Is there a motion to approve?
Will we approve the agenda as amended?
Second.
Okay, we have a motion by Commissioner Page, second by Commissioner Moody. Any further discussion? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Bids, public hearings, number four. The board to continue a public hearing to this day at 9 a.m. or as soon thereafter as possible to hear an appeal to a decision made by the Taylor County Planning Board approving a setback variance granted to Spencer Barrett, Ancient Oak Subdivision, Steinhatchee, Florida. Who wants to come forward and speak about this?
Yes.
Madam Chairperson and person and members of the board and staff, my name is Alan Rice. I live at 2200 Bell Drive in Steinhatchee, Florida, and I'm secretary of the Steinhatchee Ancient Oaks Homeowners Association. I don't want to rehash everything that we did at the last meeting, but I just want to reiterate that we do support the Mr. Barrett's variance application, which highlights the problem that apparently more communities than just Ancient Oaks have. I was in speaking with Danny Griner. We were looking at the issues, and it goes from Ancient Oaks and Steinhatchee through Keaton Beach to Shady Grove, and this issue with the setbacks really goes throughout the county. And it looks like there's upwards of over 500 lots that are affected, that are non-conforming, and that have this serious setback issue. So I just want to let the board know that our attorney, our association attorney, is more than willing to work with possibly drafting an amendment to the zoning ordinance to allow for proper setbacks on these non-conforming lots. Thank you.
Thank you. Yes.
Madam Chairwoman, members of the board, thank you for hearing me this morning. Again, my name is Joe Joyce. I'm with Robinson, Kennan and Kendrick in Lake City, Florida, 582 West Duval Street in Lake City, 32055. I represent two of the homeowners in Ancient Oaks, Barbara and Charles Matthew. We are the appellants in this. We're the ones who brought this appeal. And again, I like Mr. Rice, I don't want to rehash everything that we've already been over. I believe the purpose of having the hearing this morning was to give you all the opportunity to review that transcript, which I've sent to your board attorney, and I assume you've all had the opportunity to review that at this point. I do want to address one thing that Mr. Rice said, that this setback variance affects a lot of properties. That's the very reason you legally have to deny this variance, because a variance must be unique to one piece of property. And that's in the law that I previously cited. That's what I argued in front of the planning board. And it's why we're here today. Setback variance must be unique to a piece of property. It must have an undue hardship on one piece of property. As I said before, these lots are not unique. Mr. Barrett's lot is not unique. It has the same characteristics, but every lot in the Ancient Oak subdivisions around 1 acre, and the setbacks are the same for each. With that, I know there's a lot of people here this morning, so I won't take up too much time. Thank you for your kind consideration. I'd ask that you quash the planning board's decision and deny the setback variance. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else? Mr. Bishop?
Well, I had the opportunity to read the transcript. And as I understood it, the appellant in this case was, for lack of a better term, at that particular point in time, had not purchased the property, if I read the transcript correctly.
I would be the appellee, but yes.
Well, No. Aren't you the appellant?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And had not the... okay. All right. The appellee had not purchased the property. That's Mr. Barrett. Right? Okay. I want to get these parties straight. Okay. There's an issue that was sort of brought up at the hearing before the planning board, but it hasn't been really stressed in the appeal by Mr. Joyce. And let me read you something, and I've got the case. It's a case from the Florida Supreme Court in 1957. You'll say, well, that's an old case. Well, it is an old case, but I think it probably is still good law. And for Mr. Joyce, it's found at 96 Southern 2nd, 784. It's Josephson versus Autry. Okay? Now, at the heart, and also in reading a text that explains variance law, it says types of zoning variances. At its heart, a variance consists of a determination that enforcement of a zoning ordinance as written would impose a special hardship or difficulty upon a landowner. Variances run with the land. In other words, if you pass it, it runs with the land. Thus, successive owners of property enjoy the benefits of a variance approved by a prior owner or owner owned it before. Although there are similarities between variances and rezoning, variances often impact only one parcel and are considered administrative. Rezoning, however, typically affect a large number of properties and are considered legislative in nature. Applications for variance must demonstrate a hardship suffered by the property, not shared by other properties in the immediate vicinity. Moreover, the applicant must demonstrate that he or she did not come to the variance. That is, that the hardship suffered by the property did not exist when he or she purchased the property. In this case, you understand what I'm saying there? You don't buy in to the hardship. And in the case of that I just cited, and there are other cases too, but this is the one that primarily talks about buying in, but it says that the final order of the trial judge will have to be reversed for another reason. In order to place in motion the exercise of the variance powers of the Board of Adjustment, the applicant must show that a strict application of the zoning ordinance produces a unique or unnecessary hardship with reference to his property of land. In the instant case, the appellee Cunningham acquired the land with full knowledge of the existing zoning restrictions. He was wanting to change the zoning to where he could put a gas station there down in South Florida. As a matter of fact, they paid the seller a substantial profit over and above the amount paid for the land by the seller a short time before. They purchased property burdened with the provision of the zoning ordinance that restricted its use to tourist accommodations and similar uses. Then they appeared before the appeals board and contended hardship solely on the basis that the land was not worth what they had paid for, or it burdened by the use of the restrictions which they knew to be in existence when they purchased the property. The authorities are generally in accord on the proposition that in seeking a variance on the ground of a unique or necessary hardship, a property owner cannot assert the benefit of self-created hardship. Appellee cites our cases where we have held that a property owner will not be precluded from attacking the basic validity of the zoning ordinance merely because the ordinance was enforced when he acquired the property. This situation is entirely different. The invalid ordinance can have no effect whatsoever, and its invalidity can be assaulted at any time. The application for a variance permit recognizes the basic validity of the ordinance and seeks the grant of variance purely on the basis of some hardship. When the owner himself, by his own conduct, creates the exact hardship which he alleges to exist, he certainly should not be permitted to take advantage of it. This is from the Florida Supreme Court. I listened very closely to what was said about, and I believe, I know the attorney, I think he has written me a letter from Tallahassee with regard to what I would call a universal change such that we may not have this problem again, which might really not be a really bad idea as a practical matter for our county. But the clear law, at least, see, you have laws and then you have case law, and the Supreme Court of the state of Florida is the ultimate determinator of our laws in Florida, unless it goes to the U.S. Supreme Court. And I think this case, this was a case from Daytona Beach. I tried to look up and see if they changed that. I couldn't find any change with regard to that.
So essentially what you're saying is he had not purchased the property, and therefore if subsequently he has purchased the property with the knowledge that there was a setback rule, and the Supreme Court has ruled that because he knew or should have known, knew before he purchased the property, that it's buyer beware, in other words.
Well, yeah, that's what they're saying. Now, the other issue that I couldn't find a whole lot of law on, and I looked, you know, I tried grandfather, looked all over the place for grandfathering in, you know, because that was mentioned at the hearing, and I couldn't find anything with regard to that. That doesn't mean it's not out there, but I couldn't find anything with regard to that. Essentially, just in simple terms, and I think you, Commissioner Spradley, explained it very well from that standpoint.
Anyone else?
One thing, I feel like a court can buy a piece of property. If it don't encroach any change, don't encroach on the neighbor's property, I'm pretty much in favor of them doing what they want to on their property. Unless it's a environmental issue or something like that, I'm in favor of the variance itself. That's what I feel about it.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
We have a planning board that I have a lot of confidence in. It's our commission's ability to listen to who you got on these boards. And if you don't have the right people on the boards, you get them off and get others. But when they come with a good sound decision and a loud job, that we do what's best for our community. I'm very much in Jim's opinion that if it doesn't really affect others, like a landowner, then they only ask him for a little. And I think each case should be heard with its own merits. And I just don't want to deny a person of an opportunity to do something with them. It's hard.
Yes.
I want to concur with my two commissioner friends. I'm for granting this variance and supporting the planning board. And I believe in personal property rights. As Commissioner Dent said, they're not asking for much. A little setback. I'm willing to stick my neck out. That's why I am here.
Okay. Any other comments? If not, is there a motion?
I make a motion to approve the back.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion by Commissioner Moody, second by Commissioner Spradley. Any other comments? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries.
Will y'all instruct me to do an order with regard to that? Since this is, I think you need to do an order, ordering it with some findings of fact and also with your decision.
I'll do that. I'll make that motion.
Okay.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Item number 5, the board to receive bids for airfield lighting upgrade at Kennedy Foley Airport, set for this date at 9 a.m. or as soon thereafter as possible.
Oh, you did. We have three proposals.
Sparkling, Yaddy Electrical Contractors, and Omega Tools. ATL Permit Corporation, Florida Springs, Florida, and American Infrastructure Services and Port Myers. TCA, their total bid is $396,847.50. Last bid is American Infrastructure, and it's $544,570.30.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And the bid committee is
John Collins with AFCON, Lee Lewis with AFCON, Ward Kettering, and myself, and we will make a recommendation at the next board meeting. This is on the pipeline with Long Beach with FAA grant.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
So that'll be back on the line in a second.
Yes.
Okay. All right, we'll move along to consent items 6 through 11. Is there a motion?
Motion to approve consent items.
Second.
We have a motion by Commissioner Page, second by Commissioner Moody. Any further discussion? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Public request number 12. Dewey Hatcher Realty Services to appear to discuss appraisal of encroachments on Ralph Grubbs' property.
Good morning, everybody. Thank y'all for having me. This is the issue you guys approved, or was it a right-of-way use permit a month ago? I think that's how we worded it. And then we found out there was some precedents where the county had actually had the property appraised and then sold it to the landowner. I think I worded that right.
You did.
Good. So we had it appraised, and you should have a copy of the appraisal in your file. It's a 36 square foot area, so it's not a very big piece. When a typical house just sticks out. And I guess we just need, I don't know, what I'd like to do is just get approval where we can do it. Mr. and Mrs. Grubbs doesn't care if it's a right-of-way use permit or the property's deeded, but we do want to clear up the issue because it's creating a title problem.
Mr. Bishop.
Beat it. Prove.
Do you have anything?
I don't have any problem, you know, with beating to them for the price. It's $250, as I recall.
Yeah, and was it, the appraisal cost more than the property's worth, I think. So.
Yeah.
That's how the sheet plywood is.
That's how Mr. Dale described it. Yes, and he was going to be here today, but he had some health stuff going on. Yeah. So.
Okay, so what's the pleasure of the board?
Motion to approve.
Second.
We have a motion by Commissioner Page, second by Commissioner Gibbs. Any further discussion? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries.
Thank you, baby.
Thank you.
Julie, I'll prepare the deed.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
Yes, I'll make that part of my motion.
Yes.
For me to prepare the deed?
Right.
Yes.
Thank you. I was a little ahead of that. Okay.
Okay. Item 12A, Sheriff Wayne Paget and Bradford County Sheriff Gordon Smith to appear for an award presentation and to address the board concerning the prospect of merging, merging emergency management with the sheriff's office. That's my idea.
Thank you, Chairman. Thank you, Commissioner, for having us. you know, we had an incident down in Steinhatchee several weeks ago, and it was getting out of control. It actually started over in Hicks County. We wound up having to gain entry to the motel room. It didn't turn out like we wanted it, but it turned out better than what the problem was going to turn out. Sheriff Gordon Smith has presented some plaques and some awards for some of our deputies that acted without fail. They didn't back up. They didn't turn around. Everything went forward. Everything turned out good. I'm going to turn it over to Sheriff Smith and allow him to.
One, I want to say thank you for welcoming us to your commission meeting. This is amazing. I love it. It reminds me of the downtown. As you know, our county seat's getting bypassed. DOT's coming through and bypassed our little town. Maybe we'll return to the vintage that so many people like. I mean, it brings people to our town, our old downtown section, the courthouse. I still remember Sheriff's Office in the courthouse and all. And so I just want to say thank you. I still seeing the clerk up, being involved actually with the commission is still the way that I was brought up in and still like that setting. So it says a lot. And in my county, to have status, you must have a place in Steinhatchee or Keaton Beach. So it's always a pleasure to get to come over this way. We always get told we get to fish a day earlier than everybody else with scallops gum and all those kind of things. They allow us to start a day early. We can't get the game and fish people to buy them. But we do love it down here. Y'all are blessed to be a real part of the state of Florida to offer what so many people miss out on.
So,
with that being said, I want to tell you that back in April this year, we had a young lady. We didn't know at the time. We had some domestic violence issues in the past. But that weekend, I was woke up by my Major Smith, no relation, same last name. Everybody teasing me. My own sheriff's got the same last name. But his family is big in our community. They were on the wealthier side. I was on the poor side. But anyway, he called me one Saturday morning, Sheriff. He says, here's what I think we've got. He says, we've got a serious situation. We believe this young lady may have been abducted through a domestic violence issue. Our whole staff came out. We're a small county, the same as you. We're just a few thousand more population, but you can fit four of my counties inside yours. We're the third smallest area-wise in population. So we're blessed in that aspect. About the same number of full-time staff. We're small. Don't have a whole lot of resources. We started on that Friday, started going to Saturday. We activated everything we had, everything from drones to canines, doing all the searching. We found one little bullet by the bed. The coffee pot was still left on. We knew five kids, she didn't show up at her family home, but something was seriously awry. I can tell you that when it led into Monday morning, we were exhausted. We had nobody slept. The few investigators we have, from the prisons and canines to a neighboring county using drones, every resource exhausted. We had had a meeting. One brave young gentleman that had seen it on the news, we used the news, and out of Jacksonville said, you know what, I think that guy bought a car from us. So that car company had this buy here, pay here, they had GPSs on them. And if you didn't make your payment, they could turn that car off and find their car. He said, well, our people told us that we're supposed to get a subpoena, but I prayed about it. And I think, we knew Thomas up there. We actually thought he probably already had killed the lady he had abducted. We've dealt with that in the past. he makes the phone call. Two of my investigators, young investigators, good fine young men, walk in and say, "Sheriff, we've got this car located. It's in Stinghatch." Gave us the address and location. I said, "You're kidding." Before I walked out of my office, as I was walking down the hallway, I made a phone call, Sheriff Payne. I said, "Sheriff, here's what I got." He said, "Well, hang on, I'm on my way." He takes off from here and drives straight there, and we're on the constant communications back and forth. We've still been pinging the phones and had no reception from the phones whatsoever. Sheriff said, "Hey, call back," I don't know, 30 minutes or later. So I've been to Stinghatch as fast as I've ever been in my life, which is only about 2 hours. We got there a little over an hour, rather more people with lights coming across several counties. He said, "I got my eyeball on it." I said, "Thank you." I said, "Have you seen anything?" He said, "No, let me do some checking around." He went and doing nosing around, checking with the people there, keeping discreet. And we made contact with the people at the hotel. Said, "Yeah, we'd seen her with him, but they were acting weird. Everywhere she was went, he was right there." And even the people at the hotel said, "It just doesn't seem right." Also, we get an alert that the phone's pinging. Within a few minutes, get a phone call from the gentleman, the suspect's sister, and says, "Hey, I'm not sure what's going on. He won't tell me if she's still alive or not, but said, check out at 11. And remember him as a good guy because he knows that he's got to leave this world before 11 o'clock. His brother that he had a broken relationship with shortly thereafter calls and says, "Hey, I think she might be dead." But he said, "Check out at 11 and remember him as a good guy and tell, you know, just stuff." I said, "Time's of the essence." Called the sheriff back to the sheriff. "We got extra circumstance, but please, please, I got bad fight feelings on this. This is a bad situation. We know he's armed. We found he purchased a gun just prior to him playing this whole incident out." I said, "It's bad." He said, "Well, I got a few fellas coming." He said, "We'll handle it. I'll give you a call back." I said, "Well, time's of the essence right now. We know he just made his last message." Next phone call was the sheriff on the phone, breathing kind of hard. I could hear some hollering in the background. I said, "Hey, we got her. I believe he's dead." And the phone clicks. We're driving across several counties getting in. So me and my guys were kind of sad. At least we know we saved her. That was our intent, which we didn't know she was alive. And my lieutenant said, "How did he die?" I said, "I don't know." So a few minutes later, the sheriff called it, and we come pulling up. But I'm going to tell y'all something. We may not have all the resources of the big counties and all the special units and all those type things. But one sheriff could pick up the phone and make a phone call to the sheriff. He didn't take time to hesitate. He didn't ask a whole basket full of questions. He did what he took an oath to do. Without, for his own safety, what he did to breach that door with his men. Not only was the woman's life in danger, but their lives were imminent danger. And without, for safety of his own and for his men, the safety of their own, we don't have all that equipment those other people go indoors with. All that fancy stuff you see, but you know what? They did the right thing for the right reason. And to that, I couldn't say thank you enough. Now, my Major Smith submitted that report to the American Police Hall of Fame. And it came back with them, and the American Police Hall of Fame awarded several of these men, which is forever marked in the American Police Hall of Fame, the Silver Star for bravery. I didn't tell the sheriff that he was also one of those award recipients. So today, from the citizens of Bradford County, from our victim, who was very thankful, has called us numerous times. Her attorneys called us, said, "You know, y'all did everything right. You know, but we thought we'd be working on search warrants, extra things happen." And the sheriff, without risk, I can't even fathom when he went to that door of what he was thinking. But he did it. He saved a young lady's life. And her, just like, you know, he was going to kill me. With the gun right there at her back, and the sheriff, you know, jumped in the line of danger, and then his men coming right in on top and doing what they had to do. It was successful. Now, it wasn't successful for him, but you know what? He ended it on his own terms, and we made the decision to end it the way we wanted it to end. So to that, I want to say thank you, Sheriff, you and your men. If I get y'all to come forward, they did award some nice plaques, as you see for the men, that they'll have. That is very nice and memento. And with those all these deputies is Thomas Gunner, Joseph Franklin, Jimmy Cash, that first cousin's a junk, Brian Hayden.
Brian, don't play cash, Dr. Seth is.
Okay, we got you. Hold that. We got one here, Sheriff, for you.
Thank you, sir. I would respect
that. Yeah, well, we knew you would. That's what we didn't want to tell you. But the letter, they all pretty much address the same. It says, "Dear Sheriff Patchett, it is my pleasure to inform you that you have been awarded the Silver Star for Bravery of the National Award Program to the American Police Hall of Fame. Our staff members join me in commending you for your valor and service." And then it goes into the actions, which the story is there, which is the Florida Star. You'll see it printed in the Florida Sheriff's Star. They picked up that story and published it for their actions, and it goes through that. It says, upon interviewing the women, the woman, it was discovered that the ex-boyfriend had taken her at gunpoint from a residence. She told him she was supposed to meet a friend, which prompted a strange text that alerted a friend and her family. A prompt response and heroic actions led to the successful outcome for the woman. Your professionalism in a life-threatening situation is evidence of your dedication to serve the public as a law enforcement officer. Your diligence and bravery is an admirable model for all officers to follow. Again, please accept our congratulations on your nomination and the award. The staff of the American Police Hall of Fame wishes you continued success in your role as a law enforcement officer. Jack Wrench, the national president of the American Police Hall of Fame and Museum. So there's a letter here to go with each one of them. I want to get a picture. But also with that, so the commissioners know, because there's also something to wear with your uniform for each one of you, which is your Silver Star for dress uniform. You got your ball that you wear normal, and you got a pin to go with your tie. So that's for each one of y'all. So that's not very few, less than 1% of all law enforcement will ever receive this award. So that says a lot. Yeah, all the years, 30, going on 33 years this October. You know, you always watch TV where everything's down to the last second, every minute. At 11, at 10:39, they breach that door. And we do a checkout was at 11. So you save the young lady's life. Thank you again. I want to get a picture.
What you do to protect us and this county, and keep on doing what you're doing. You're doing a great job.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for sharing.
Absolutely.
And come back to see us.
Yeah, you want to do something emergency medical?
Yes.
Yes. Absolutely.
Just want to briefly just speak about emergency management and emergency with the sheriff's department and some of the points that work, how well it's worked with their counties, the things that they've done, and where emergency management was and where it's at today by the sheriff's department getting involved. And take you to that.
Once again, thank you to the sheriff's office and y'all. But we go back to emergency management, and we looked at it for years. The sheriff's office, we are a small county, and we looked at, a lot of times we don't have a saying, so that's not my job. And the sheriff's office, because we did communications for everybody in the county, whether it be fire, rescue, the city police departments, we do it all. After our utility calls, we even handle those in our comm center. So, and we keep track of folks. Somebody's sewer breaks down, they're calling because it's 24/7. There was no need for them. The city pays about $92,000 a year for us to handle their comms communications. So we document all that. We went with a SmartCop software several years ago. They can pull it up, keep a documented record. Everything from printing tickets in the car to the city commission meetings, they come up and say, how many of you have their utility calls? Who got called out? Those calls for the power went out, but the city of Stark has their own utilities. Those type of things, we do it. What we come to realize is most commissioners never really knew what emergency management, what their function was. What was emergency? Well, we got a storm. We activate emergency management, but what do they do the rest of the time? So we sat through that. We had a great emergency management director, but he was coming upon retirement. Some things had happened. He was taking on some other roles. It wasn't that he wasn't a competent emergency management director. He just didn't have all the resources needed when something major happened. It was the day-to-day stuff, working on grants. Like right now, we're out for more bids on a $2.5 million grant for cleaning out a creek bed. We just yesterday found out from FEMA the $800,000 we're getting reimbursed from Irma. We finally met all those requirements. Now that being said, it's a lady in our emergency management. We've got our emergency management director here with us in case you had any questions. but she knew the makeup. We didn't change what emergency management was. We just encompassed it. And then we have all of our staff there. You're already paying. And as the sheriff, we're the first one to get the call, and we're the last ones to end the call. Everything begins and ends with us. So we put out a display last September after Irma, when all the stuff was coming about. And the first one started out, what is emergency management? And it's the lead agency for coordination of emergency and disaster response activities. But you say, when there's not a storm, what else are you doing? So you have to look around and say, well, it's the grants. It's cleaning out the creek beds. It's doing public safety. Going to town hall meetings. We do a lot of town hall meetings in all reaches of our county. To all the little municipalities, church functions, school functions. A lot of times, the school in the area is the only really community that they have is around the school. So we go to those schools. And as you know, I missed this right. I wish I had a dollar for one of the signs I seen coming in now. You've been there. It's a lot of things that most people never see in day-to-day function. Well, it's already doing what the sheriff's office does. We already go to all those events. We're already doing all the town hall meetings. So we're putting literature out there. We're registering for the Alert Bradford. We want everybody on that Alert Bradford because we use it a lot. We got everybody signed up for our email list. We go around the schools. We collect requests every teacher's email. We're collecting requests from the city's email. Because when we have an incident, we have an email system. We can spit it out right away. Everybody's got a smartphone. So we want to add the database to our email list, text list, get their phone number. We're doing all those type things. What we're already doing is the sheriff's office. So we encompass that as part of our emergency management. So now when the creeks arise, and we keep track of it every day at our reading levels, we give out periodic things. We do a newsletter every quarter that tells a little bit about what we're doing. But because our people are already being paid full-time by the taxpayers of the county, when they're not doing what that, they need to be involved to help them do something else. We got to keep them busy and occupied. So we started gathering all those resources, and it goes through the mission and things in emergency management. As you look through it, I don't want to be repetitive. In regards to what we found in our county, when we went before the board and they made this ultimate decision to do this, they didn't lose anything. The Board of Commissioners never lost one drop of influence. I can tell you the sheriff, whatever emergency management done, I got the credit for or the blame for. Because as their sheriff, they think emergency falls somewhere in that loop. If it's a dispatch call, I fall in that loop. We had to fire people that were worried about it. We actually, it helped save money in our county. Like this budget year, the matching funds that come from the two federal grants, the state and federal grant, that money we gave back to the county. You say, what do you mean? Because we already had somebody in place. We didn't have to go hire an emergency management person. We have a woman that runs a real, real tight ship, but the supervisor was already over our comm center and our IT department, who had been in emergency management in Union County, another small county who has their emergency management. We had him there. We used his salary as the match. So now we've got his matching money. It goes in. The county can use their matching money toward our fire. Actually, use it toward our fire services. As we're trying, we're kind of a hodgepodge right now between volunteers and a couple full timers. We're in a tight spot in our county trying to figure out what we do with fire services. They were able to use that money toward that. What we do with the matching money, then we're able to use that to buy stuff that we normally would not be able to purchase, and we consolidate. Made a better use of the funds. Spend wiser, not more. So it helped us out in a lot. Helped our county, helped us out. We pull his salary out of those grant funds. His matching money that we have to use for a salary, we now get to pull and use for extra things. Whether it be sandbags, cones, suits, you do all the stuff that emergency management does. And they do quite a bit. A lot of it's unseen by the public. But when you saw that with the sheriff's office, you'll find most small counties do that just for the purpose of, we have a full-time staff of 81 to 82 people. And when something goes down, everybody pitches in. Our emergency management never really got the help he needed to get the things done. We missed a lot of money. Just because a one-man show, or two people actually to do it, missed out on a lot of stuff. And then when they wanted to make a decision, they had to go to the board, the county manager. Then the county manager tried to get a consensus of the commissioners. And they wind up calling the sheriff anyway and said, hey, sheriff, we want to stop all votes on the lake. Okay. They couldn't get three commissioners to agree. I said, no votes on the lake. We've got lakes. It's causing people to flood out. Water's going in their home. At some place, I went with a chainsaw and cut a tree across the road so they couldn't get into the boat dock. We didn't have enough barricades. It was a storm, you know. It was a quick decision. We had to do something. And you got some people, for whatever reason, they don't live on there, and they want to go get on the lake and cause some lakes to go into people's houses. Or declare a state of emergency. We couldn't get a board meeting. So I said, we're going to declare a state of emergency. We're going to shut down such and such road. We're going to shut down this area, people in and out. We did it. But I could stay in consensus because I could talk to all my commissioners. I can call and say, hey, you know, Mr. Riddick, or hey, whoever it is. And I'm going to tell you to this day, my two biggest critics have taken over emergency management, have both called us today, working on issues with them, have become our two biggest supporters. The former emergency manager, I just performed a wedding the other day, come up and they said, you know what, you're really doing a good job. Because he didn't get the help he needed, run a small shop, and with the sheriff's office, when you need help, you can get a decision quick. And we're going to work with our commissioners. Like them, love them, don't like them, love them. You've got to work as a sheriff. I have got to work every day with my commissioners. I've got to work with my clerk. Those type of things. If you're going to be successful, you want to stay in this job, you've got to work with the people up here on this board. Because I couldn't do one thing without the board. Even though I'm elected independently and a constitutional officer, you don't get anything done for the benefit of your community if you don't work with this board of county commissioners. And our emergency management, I think he had a talk with the sheriff this morning telling him, those commissioners don't call me, they call him. I'm just getting in the way. He takes care of what that needs to be done. It's just having the resources there under the name of the sheriff. And just like I told them, I said, you give it, you can take it. And they gave us the chance. And I think we've proven that it was best under the office of the sheriff. So as you move forward, I think it's something to think about, consolidating your resources. Your men and women that are handling those calls from 9-1-1 it first comes in, whether it be a fire, a flood, a catastrophe of any kind. The first people going to get that's going to be your sheriff's office. And when it's all said and done, the last person to leave is going to be your sheriff's office. And they work for you. If you have any questions, I'll be glad to answer anything you may have.
Any questions from the board?
None here.
Thank you, Sheriff.
Thank you, Sheriff. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Once again, thank you all. It's a beautiful county. Y'all are blessed to have.
Let me say that, Sheriff.
Yes, sir.
We've got a couple of commissioners out. I've met one of Ross and the other one is Daniel.
Daniel Riddick.
Daniel what?
Riddick?
Riddick, yes.
Yes.
Fine, dude.
They are. He's a good pastor, too. If you ever want to hear somebody preach, listen to Ross Chandler. And Commissioner Riddick is a fine Christian deacon at our church.
Yes. I knew his dad.
Yeah, oh, Lord. He's still going, too. Hitman goes every day. He's 87, 88 years old and goes every day.
Yes.
We're blessed. Yeah. Thank you.
Tell him I said hi.
Thank you.
I will, absolutely.
Thank you, sir.
Any of the rest of y'all?
They were here in case you had any questions. He's our EM director, this is the owner share.
Or get fired. This is
I'm a little bashful sometimes.
I have a question for the EM director. I see you wearing a gun, so you're sworn.
I am
come
sworn.
Out of ranks from law enforcement?
32 years, yes, sir.
Okay. What prior experience did you have, if any, with emergency management, other than being a first responder?
In 1996, I was appointed emergency management director by Sheriff Jerry Whitehead in Union County, and I served in that capacity through the year 2000 for Sheriff Whitehead before I took a promotion and went back to the road working. A fantastic 4 years of my youth, and I was a young man then, probably a little too young to have done it back then, but let me just say this. The experience that I gained then is nothing compared in that county to what I'm doing in Bradford County right now when we have a railroad. Union County never had a railroad. We've got several lakes that flood all the time that we have to deal with, that we never had those issues in Union County. Two completely different structured counties. But to find out and to get into the inner workings of emergency management, to meet the criteria so that your funding is safe from the state and that you can secure that year to year with your scope of work and all the things that are required. I will say this, my board knows that I'm accessible to them 24 hours a day. And I conduct myself as if I was working directly for that board. So that never can a commissioner call and think that he has to go through my supervisor or my sheriff to get access to me. I want them to have the same access that they've always had to their emergency manager, and that's some conversation that I had with the sheriff here this morning that I find that we believe is extremely important, is that this is, by statute, emergency management is yours, this board, but it also gives you the right to task it to another constitutional officer. The statute does provide for that. But it does not relieve you of your responsibility, and so that's why I want to be accessible to my board, and that's why I think it's important in this situation that the sheriff see the same thing, and he understands that.
with the coast that you have and Steinhatchee and Keaton Beach and all the things that you have here that are vulnerable to storms and all, I think it's extremely, extremely important that your sheriff's office be directly involved with that for evacuations and for other, many other reasons, because he's going to have resources that are immediate, and the sheriffs across the state of Florida have their sheriff's mutual aid agreement that is a lot easier to deal with, by the way, than the statewide mutual aid agreement. It's an easier activation. It's easier for you to get help in your county when you need it now, not after we go through some red tape to get it. But after we made our presentation, this almost exact presentation to our board, they opted to vote to give this to the sheriff and gave it to us on a 5-0 vote. It was unanimous, and they appointed me as the emergency manager. And I brought this just, and I think you have a copy of it in your folder, the letter. But it says, Director Maul, I write as chairman of the Board of County Commissioners of Bradford County, Florida, and on their behalf, with regard to the above referenced matter, please be advised that it is the intent of the Board of County Commissioners of Bradford County, Florida, to transfer our emergency management department and its accompanying program to the Bradford County Sheriff through an interlocal agreement. To that end, please accept this letter pursuant to the requirement of Section 252.38, Paragraph 1B, Florida Statutes, that the Board of County Commissioners of Bradford County, Florida, intends to appoint Lieutenant Raymond Shuford an employee of and as designated by the Bradford County Sheriff Gordon Smith as Emergency Management Director for Bradford County, Florida. We felt it was important that the sheriff choose who his director was going to be, since he worked for him. But by Chapter 252, it's still your job to appoint the director. So even though the sheriff would be overseeing the day-to-day operations of the program, it is still your emergency management department. It's still going to be yours, and you're not losing anything from it other than day-to-day oversight that you won't have to. It really, truly, it's a burden that you don't have to be pulled up with every day. The sheriff will take care of that for you.
What does your director report to, the sheriff or the county?
I report,
yes.
I'm the director, and I report to Major Smith, who reports to the sheriff. So there's somebody between the sheriff and me.
Okay. So what involvement does the county have with your employment then?
No, not with my employment.
Okay.
Not with the employment. I work for the sheriff. So, and so what happened is right now we're in the process with new grants coming out July 1st, because the state, they're on the state cycle, fiscal year is July 1 to June 30th. So our grants come in July. All of those are going to come to the sheriff, and the sheriff will manage the grants from there forward.
You've been in emergency management before, you've been in it, back in it now for
yes, sir,
a number of months, so you know that you're the way your sheriff has organized and structured emergency management is not the way all sheriffs run their emergency management.
Correct.
In other words, many areas the sheriff is the emergency management director, and he assigns someone to run it. In other words, he doesn't have to, or a sheriff doesn't have to appoint a director.
Right.
Naturally, he wants someone to operate, you know, the emergency management and to report and be on that. But
and that
the
is
way you've structured it, the way you've structured it is not the way Sheriff Padgett necessarily may do it, or
right,
or any other sheriff.
That's correct. And they have options. We looked at those options, and we actually chose to protect our sheriff. And what we did is we encouraged him not to be the director, and for him to have an appointed director, and that kind of shields him then from being in that position. The sheriff, by virtue of the Constitution and state statute, has almost all the same powers that the emergency manager has. The sheriff can declare an emergency, that even though it doesn't say in statute, but by Constitution he can. There are some powers that he has that are shared by the emergency manager. And so what we decided to do, what we offered to them was that the sheriff appoint somebody, and that certainly would protect him liability-wise a lot more.
He's still
I take the fall. you know, if I make the bad decision, it's on me.
We give the emergency manager.
Yeah. They have to have a special election and all this other stuff sometimes to him, but I'm replaceable. And you know, we work daily with that idea that we're all replaceable. And so every decision that we make has got to be in the best interest of those involved and those that could be involved. And so one last thing, this is your department. No matter your decision today, it'll always be, emergency management will always be yours. It'll always be accessible to you. If you were to do this today and give them a shot at doing it, it's something that you can always come back later and make a change in it, if so needed. But we have lots of confidence in Sheriff Padgett, and we've talked quite a bit. And I think that it would benefit your county for you to give great consideration to this. And I thank you for allowing me to talk. I hope I answered your question, Commissioner.
You went more than I needed.
Can I ask a question before you step in from the podium?
Yeah.
I think the sheriff's presentation, I heard mention of a very competent lady that's doing the grants. Was she part of the emergency management team when you had the board county commissioners?
Yes.
And how did that transition go from her being a board employee to a sheriff's department?
Ma'am.
Would you like to speak on that?
Yes, sir. Wendy Russell was working for emergency management, has spent over 10 years in the emergency management department when it was under the county. She worked for the previous two directors.
Mm-hmm.
Wendy is just a basket full of information and knowledge, and she knows the paperwork, the day-to-day, the grant submission paperwork. She does all of the administrative part. What the county chose to do with Wendy in this case, because we wanted that. Honestly, I didn't want the program if she had come with it. I mean, I really wanted Wendy with the program, and so we needed her. We didn't want to lose any time trying to rebuild or trying to figure things out. So if Wendy come with it, it was just icing on the cake for us. Wendy submitted a resignation to the board. She was paid out, and we picked her up as an employee at the sheriff's office, and she's never missed a day of work. It was a very seamless transition. But when Brian retired, we paid him out also at the same time, so there was a lot going on at one time, but Wendy just transferred, actually resigned from the board, and was hired by the sheriff the same day.
Now, you work for the sheriff.
I do.
And Wendy works for the sheriff.
She does.
And if the sheriff has fallen out with either of you, then you'd be gone tomorrow.
That's correct.
It's up to the sheriff to call.
Yes, sir.
Now, we do the appointment underneath the board. If I was to appoint somebody new, I have to work with the commission to make sure it was somebody we all agreed on, because I didn't get appointed as the director. The Board of County Commissioners worked with me, and we appointed Mr. Shuford, which we have to submit to the state by statute.
So you appointed this gentleman?
That's who we brought forward, and that's who the Board of County Commissioners.
On the board hired you?
Well, they hired me. He still works for the sheriff. He's still paid out of our salary budget, those type of things.
That's a convoluted way to do that.
Well, we wanted them to be involved. We didn't ever want to leave our commissioners out. They have, you answer to the public the same way the sheriff does. And so what happens is, we said, we're never going to do this alone. We want to make sure we have a consensus of everybody working together, because that's the only way it benefits the taxpayers, is we work together. So we worked out something that was mutually agreeable between the board and the sheriff and the techniques. I have a lot of the same constitutional powers, but I wanted them to have an oversight with every step of the way, grants, funding, what were priorities to them need to be a priority to us. If there's a priority in your district of flooding or something going on, that needs to be a priority for us. And those commissioners work directly every day with him. There's never been in the year going on, I'd rather not be bothered. They need to know that they pick up the phone and say, and if they he knows that if they call me with a complaint, the next phone calls me, what's going on? You know, so it holds him accountable also. And that's the way we move forward. So it's been great for us. I'm just trying to get some avenues. I think it would be great for a county size to use your resources together to go that route. It's worked out real well. Worked out real well for most small counties. A lot of small counties do this just because the uniqueness of needing the resources out there.
But basically, the Board of County Commissioners really has no say-so about you, your job function, your future, your future or anything. It's strictly with the sheriff.
With the sheriff, that's
okay.
Correct.
Okay.
However, if I do something that is not pleasing to my board and they call that sheriff, I do believe that there is a process that's in place that I am still accountable, not only to the sheriff, but I still put ourselves, and we believe that we are accountable to you as a board, because Chapter 252 makes emergency management your program. The fact that you're giving it to a another constitutional officer for oversight and for management of that program does not relieve you of your responsibility in it. Therefore, I'm going to come and I'm going to talk to my board as if they were my employers. And I think that's really important. I think it's key that Commissioner Page, that you're able to reach out to your director, whoever that may be appointed at any time to discuss a problem in your district and be able to solve and fix that problem. And I believe, after talking with Sheriff Padgett, that he has the same feelings as we do with that, is that this is still your program. And you're not losing anything from this except the money that you are, and I don't know how you plan on doing it, but I will say this, for us, the board doesn't have to match those funds anymore. The sheriff is matching those funds out of his budget with my salary. The board then can take their money and match it to something else or to use that money that they were using for match somewhere else if they like. And those are options that you have. I'm really glad to sit and
sure, Padgett may have others.
Sure, he may have other ideas.
Don't speak on what he's going to do.
So that's something, but you have lots of options at your disposal.
And he's there commissioning, whether I'm there or not, he's going to be there against the board.
Before we go any further, what I'm going to do is go ahead, since we're already talking about 12B anyway, I'd like to go ahead and read 12B, and since we're into it, let's go ahead and start.
I'm just going to deal with this here.
12B, yeah. Is okay? Right. Okay. So, 12, I'm just going to add 12B to our conversation. The board to further discuss emergency management operations. Okay.
Can I speak first?
Yes.
I think we're in a, I guess it's an enviable position to be in, and we've got three entities, and whichever way the board chooses, we can go with the sheriff, we can leave the status quo as it is, we can go with our fire chief. Any of this will work for the citizens of this county. So I don't think we can make a bad decision. It's just a matter of how three or more of these board members feel about it. And we can sit here all day and discuss this, and discuss it, and discuss it. We've workshopped it already. And I'm going to go ahead and make a motion for discussion, and then we can discuss my motion. Now, we have a 17 years in policy. She's been with the county 17 years. She's done a wonderful job, and I'm going to move that we leave emergency management as it is. And we'll see if we get a second. All right, that's my motion.
Okay, we have a motion by Commissioner Page. Is there a second? Okay, the motion has failed for a second. Okay, I'm going to open up the discussion for anybody else.
I'd like to say, I'd like to make a motion to give it to the sheriff's department. Oversee the whole thing, just like their county does. And as long as everything stays the same and we get the same amount of service, I'm fine with it.
Like I said, it'll work either way.
It's up to y'all. Can I say something?
Yes.
What I'm asking you to do is you vote for the people. You do what's right for the people.
Yeah.
You vote for the people that live on the coast. We already have people on patrol down there. We're front and center. So what I'm asking you to do, you do public safety. I don't care whether you like me or not. I don't care. Okay? But you take care of these people in this county. That's who we are sworn to take care of and to protect. So do what you got to do. I'm fine either way you go with it. Take care of the people first.
Okay. Right now we have a motion by Commissioner Moody to give the emergency management to the sheriff. Is there a second to his motion?
I second.
Okay, we have a second by Commissioner Dix. Now, further discussion.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
I'm the one in the unique situation here. I have 15 years as a deputy sheriff. I worked for five sheriffs. I worked for 16 years for the state fire marshal's office, so I'm intimately aware, although I didn't fight fires, of what the fire service brings to the situation. And then 6 years in emergency management. And I'm, you know, I have a, even though I've worked for these other agencies, you know, I have a, a special place in my heart for Christie and for emergency management, and want to see, it's come so far and it's been so successful, and, you know, and to a great part with Christie's involvement. But I'm in a situation now where I am the county commissioner and I want to make a decision for the county that's best as a whole. Not only for emergency management, but for, if it goes before the fire department, I don't see where it will enhance the fire department. It will keep emergency management and will certainly aid emergency management, but I don't see where it would aid the county as a whole. Keeping emergency management as it is will be the status quo, and won't miss a beat. I'm sure that Christie or whomever is the emergency management director out there will keep it going, and with the board's support, as the board has always supported emergency management. But with it going under the sheriff's department, I think that the county as a whole would be better served with the restructuring of positions, the grant monies and so forth. We have serious issues with needing school resource officers and the schools, and with I know I personally, I need more fire service at the beach in Steinhatchee. Again, I don't think this would help with that, but I'm hoping that it will help with more law enforcement presence at the beach in these rural areas in Steinhatchee and so forth. So I think as a whole, that's why I will be voting in favor of the sheriff taking over the emergency management, and we'll have an MOU. I would prefer that Christie be under the sheriff, but the benefits stay with the board, because we do have better health insurance and those kind of things than the sheriff does. He's working on that, I know, and eventually that will work out. I'm hopeful, but it is just, we have better health insurance and she's under that program now, and so irregardless on the matching funds and so forth, we can work those kind of things out. He may well need that. I know that we had two full-time positions before, and we needed every penny of everything to, you know, keep the programs going that we had. So I just wanted to say that's my reasoning. It's as a county commissioner and trying to make a decision what I feel like is best for the county as a whole.
Thank you. Sheriff, I think that you hear us, and we're all concerned about this lady over here, Christie Anderson. She's been with us. She's been a faithful, very good employee, and we would not want anything to happen to her.
I don't either.
If we go with giving you the emergency management. Now, you would protect her, because if we do it and you don't, then we're going to take more.
I've known her whole life. She knows.
She's a good employee.
I bet you.
And
I wouldn't want it without her. So.
And
whatever y'all decide.
It goes with you. I would be in agreement with Commissioner Spradley about, can we keep her benefits and everything with the county?
Yes, you can.
No, you can't. I'm not concerned. She becomes an employee of the sheriff. He has his own program. She cannot be mine on our insurance.
Well, I'm telling you, other counties do it, so you can figure out a way to do it.
Other counties.
It depends on all Britain insurance.
We can figure it out. That's not a big issue. Okay, we're going to take care of Christie, whatever we got to do.
Yeah,
I'll give every one of y'all my word.
It's a big issue
to her. She does a good job, and everybody I know, I don't know nobody more. No, she would be my first pick to stay and help and do what we need to do.
Would she be the director?
She would be running emergency management, until something happens, and then we're all going to be right there to support her.
But her title will be director.
I don't want to say that right now, but I'm not certain on that. But she will be there. As long as she wants to stay there, she's got a job and to do the day-to-day operation that she's doing now.
Now, you're going to pick the director and not the board.
Yes, that's me up to y'all. I'll let y'all be involved in that. I got to get up.
Well, we always work together.
Yeah, I'm still planning on working together. Yeah, I got to have y'all. I want my best for the county, okay?
I might can help them a little bit. What we did is discover we need a matching salary for part of the grant so the county didn't have to pay that $75,000 to us for the matching use salary of somebody else. He's our EM director, and Wendy's title was our deputy director, is what she is. But she basically runs, she's our go-to, but we used it because of the matching funds to help us use with our grant cycle with the state. And it worked out real well for us. And she, I'm telling you, what y'all are saying up here was the same exact thing told to me about our lady that actually does the work. She is the backbone.
And she's going to continue to do that.
We actually gave a little raise because we had some of them. We could give a little raise and did that. We did work out some of the stuff with health insurance and those types of things.
Yeah.
Okay.
I would.
We didn't have vehicles, so we gave ours a vehicle because we needed all the time. We didn't have them prior to that.
I know that your motion and second was that the sheriff could give an emergency manager. It needs to go beyond that. And my recommendation would be that the sheriff, by statute, as a constitutional officer, is appointed as the emergency management director. That would be my recommendation, and that's what it is in several areas. And then the sheriff, and then you satisfied the constitutional issues, and then the sheriff appoints from there, and generally in the other counties, the person that runs emergency management is the assistant director, and then, you know, how the sheriff structures it, but he has to have the latitude to run it how he feels best, and then we just, you know, we monitor and but my recommendation would be that the if it's given to the sheriff, that the sheriff is appointed as the director.
Commissioner Moody, how do you feel about that?
I feel exactly that should be the way it should be. And I mean, I feel like he's going to take care of 50, insurance-wise, salary-wise. I'm not worried about that. He gives our work, his work, to us, personally, right here. You know, that's what's going to happen. And if it doesn't happen that way, just go ahead and back up here, and we're going to be looking him in the eye.
For sure.
Right. I call for the question.
Okay.
Now I want to discuss.
Okay.
Discuss the correct.
Yes.
Now you made me forget what I was going to say.
Okay.
As a board, we have several duties. The fiduciary duty, and that's not what we're talking about here. The duty of care, we have a duty of the law. And this board works together quite well.
I
made a motion and it failed for lack of a second. It was an opportunity to get discussion going,
okay.
And it's been very successful. And I do not intend to vote no.
Okay.
I respect these opinions of these board members.
Thank you, sir.
I didn't want to state that.
Thank you, sir.
So I made a vote.
Okay, the question has been called. So all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries.
Thank you, ma'am.
You got to take care of Chris.
I will. I promise you.
She will.
Because we don't worry about that.
You ain't got to worry about it. My word and my bond, and that man are loaded too. Yeah. We got it.
We know you, Sheriff. We know where to find.
Yes, sir.
So,
go ahead. You know, I always ask, what's the next step?
Is that
we need to work on an interlocal agreement, or a memorandum of understanding, or some discussion. What is our next step?
Good
question.
Have
we seen them implementing this? Madam Chair,
I'd like to
agree, but I assume with Mr. Bishop.
Sure, like to see some of them. Some other folks.
Yeah. Find us one and work it rough.
We've got them. We've got them. You will have to notify the division
of
emergency management and all that. So don't forget, Mr. Bradley, that's
an example.
But anything that we have
in Bradford County that we can help you with, or from our county attorney to anything that we have in our office as far as the interlocal agreement goes, I'll be more than glad to share with you if so need be. So just say, we just went through it, so I don't mind sharing, and then you model it to fit your county however you see fit, so we'll help you any way we can.
Madam Chair, I'd like to make a motion, if it's appropriate at this point, that we ask our attorney to draft an interlocal agreement between the board and the sheriff, and laying out what we've discussed here today, and then bring that back at the next board meeting. When that's signed, then we can notify the state of the appointment of the director, and so, because we are in budget time with them, with the state. It just makes sense.
Okay.
So I'll second that motion.
We have a motion by Commissioner Spradley, second by Commissioner Page. Any further discussion? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. So we'll have that on July the 2nd. Mr. Lakey, maybe, and Mr. Bishop, if we can do that. That's a couple of weeks.
We close? Thank you. I appreciate y'all.
Thank you.
If you need
them, start at the end, at the beginning of the next fiscal year, or of course, it all depends on how the contract.
Well, we're in hurricane season, but we're going to be there no matter what happens. We're still on board, okay? Yeah. Thank you. Thank you, everyone.
Well, that is
thank you, Sheriff.
Right away.
Thank you. Keep me safe on North 19.
Yes, sir.
Okay, 12-6.
Thank you, Sheriff.
Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate
y'all. No, please, just get there. Now, I'm going to give the idea of closing while you go.
Item 12C, the board to consider approval of contract with Pfeiffer Industries for construction of the new public works office as attended by Danny Griner, building official. Anybody want to speak to that? Do you have anything, Mr. Lakey?
Contract. Sorry, there's a contract we do with it.
We have a letter from
Congress.
Okay.
I've already approved that, haven't I?
Yes. Yes,
I've already approved it, y'all.
We've got a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
We've got a motion and a second. Any further discussion? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Mm-hmm. All opposed, same sign. Motion carries.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
That was one of the proposals that I was hit with. That some thought we might be moving too fast. But when I come to think about the health issues that was going on out there, I don't think we need to put anybody under health condition. We can do something about it. One case or two cases can cost us $100,000.
Easy.
So it's the best thing we go ahead and help protect those people that we got working.
Yes.
And especially if it was my people or your people or whoever it was affected, you would want them to move.
That's right. And thank you for saying that. And you know, sometimes when we make decisions, all the public doesn't understand why we do it. And they may read something and jump to a conclusion. That happens often. And without really knowing all the details about why we made that decision. So I appreciate you saying that.
I want to say something, if I may, Madam Chair. If we intend to build anything, a new building of any sort, at budget time, I want us to fully fund it. We knew going in that $100,000 would not build this building. But we also knew we had contingency money that we could pull from. And when you look at it, I'm picking on the press here now, when you look at that, and it seems like you've overspent your budget, when actually the money was there, it just wasn't in the budget in the black category. So I want to make sure in this budget here, if we're going to build a whatever, and we think it's going to cost $200,000, we put $200,000 in the line item in the budget rather than $100,000 and get criticized in the press. We're doing the right thing.
I concur. Thank you for saying that. Because it does look like we
missing and overspent. So that's a very good.
And you put all that out there in the paper.
And I agree with him.
I'm sure you'll hear about it on Facebook.
It'll be on Facebook.
Well, some of us don't read Facebook, thank goodness.
I don't.
Don't read it, don't want to hear it.
Don't want to hear it.
Okay, now, where were we? We were on, we need a motion, I suppose. We didn't have a motion, did we?
Yes.
We did, we had a motion and a second.
Right.
Okay, we just need to approve that. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign, motion carries. It's easy to get distracted when you're sitting here. Okay, now, item 13, the clerk to discuss with the board a request to purchase property from the county that was escheated to the county through tax deed sale. Madam Clerk?
I know we discussed one at the last board meeting. Mm-hmm. I'm ready, we need to get that advertisement because they declared a surplus and we need to advertise for bids. This one I received in the mail from an investment firm. It's attached to your agenda, Pine Creek Investments. It was addressed at Mayor County and City Fair, but I got it. And this property that you're talking about is the same thing, a cheap to the county. They also sent a purchase agreement, and they want to purchase it for $930. But I tell the board, same thing I told you on the other one, that the opening bid on this parcel of land should be $2,486.53. That's what taxes was owed, what the board paid to make application for the tax deed and go through the whole project. So I didn't think you wanted to sell it for $930.
No, not yet.
It's at the board's discretion if you want to declare it surplus, but he may not want it at that price because he's only offered $930.
And your recommendation is 2001?
Well, the open bid should be $2,486.53.
I'll make a motion to declare this a surplus property, and then you can take bids on it. Is that what we
that's
need to
what
do?
That's what the board wants to do, but see, when he tell him that what the open bid is going to be.
Then he can back out.
$930. And it's over there in Thomas's area somewhere.
That's where I know where it's at, right behind me.
Yes, it's right behind Thomas, and I could never figure out in this area close right exactly. You probably can't either because yours might not be in.
You cannot.
But it's a small piece of property, I think, that the size of
71
acres.
Big enough for a house.
Thomas is probably a small lot.
Yes, ma'am. And it is in his landlocked.
Oh, yes.
Mr. Bishop.
I got the same thing on a little piece of property that I own. I'm not going to sign that contract under any circumstances because they want an abstract or title work on it, which would cost more than what they're offering. You know, if you look at that contract, you ain't no way.
Yeah. These people that sent this proposal is in Utah.
Yes.
So I don't know whether the board wants to declare it surplus or we send back and say the process and what the open bid will be because you may not want to declare it surplus.
Well, Commissioner Page has already made a motion.
Okay. Well, I'll listen to the clerk to back because you handle this stuff.
That's up to the board. If you want to declare it surplus, but we may not ever do anything because we advertise the bids on it. We'll send them a copy of the advertisement and start the bid. But there's a lot of difference, $930 and $2,400.
There's no harm
in
declaring.
It says it's landlocked.
It's landlocked.
Yeah, and it's landlocked, you know. Now, you get into a problem, you sell it. You know,
right. Right.
You see what I'm saying?
And the thing about it is, they can order somebody through a lawsuit to give them access.
Yeah.
Well, no, they're not coming through your driveway.
Man, they ain't going to
move my driveway. They're landlocked.
You're buying into a problem.
I have a question.
Right.
Look, Sam.
Yes, sir.
Is the lot grown up real thick? Is it a hazard to the neighborhood?
Well, it might not be a hazard, but it is grown up. I own four. I own the front four. There's one behind it, one that I own. And it's between me and my neighbors. And it's behind my neighbor's property.
Does anybody keep it up or mow it?
Well, it was in the same position some years ago. They came in there and cleaned it up. Somebody bought it out of Utah or somewhere, I don't know where it comes. But they decided they didn't want it, so they quit keeping it up.
How did it get to where they didn't have no easement to it? I mean, they bought it without an easement years ago, or how did that happen? Somebody subdivided a lot they had or something?
Well, I can tell you what. I bought the first two lots with my house. That behind it was Ed Parker sold it to me. When he sold that to me, then that mean I had the all of it between me and Reverend Ross. And that on the side of me belonged to somebody else. Well, then he eventually sold that front lot. They were going that back lot. They didn't buy the back lot. They just bought the front lot, so it was behind somebody else. That's how that happened.
Left him landlocked.
Yep.
Well, you know, I don't know.
I just got the proposal in the mail, so that's why I put it on the board. I just got another one yesterday. It'll be on your next agenda on this achievement piece.
I'll be wrong about most. We'll decide what we're going to do on this. Don't want to get shut down twice.
You don't think any of the neighbors are interested in it?
Well, he's not interested in $2,400, my neighbor's not.
Well, now, if we deserve it, surplus, we'd have to have it appraised, I guess. We could sell it for less than
I don't think we'd have to have it appraised because it's so low.
We could sell it for whatever.
Yeah.
Well, why don't we do that? Yeah. And then that way...
I think logically, to offer it to the neighbors.
Absolutely.
You know, see what they're willing
to do. Why don't you just...
You can't do that.
No.
You cannot do that. You got to advertise for bids.
Pursue an offer.
Go out there and offer it. Because they've made offers what they've done for $980.
Yes.
But they want us to...
$930.
In other words, if we declared a surplus, we couldn't give it to the adjacent landowner?
No. I wouldn't think so. So you got all that money involved in. County got at least $500 to deduct the application.
What are we doing with all this other surplus stuff that comes before us all the time?
Well, what's happened with a lot of surplus property that we've had before is, for instance, personal property. We've had, sales and auctions and so forth. And I've always, back a long time ago, when we have surplus property at the road department, we have an auction on Saturday, and then we had it out at Forest Capitol Hall and got rid of a lot of stuff and made a little bit of money, and it was a lot of fun.
Because we could do that with this.
That was personal property.
Not real property.
Yeah. But one time we did have a bit, we had one on real property where we had bids one time.
Well, we have done it in the past.
Mm-hmm.
But that's why I asked you the question at the last board meeting. Can the board set it what the low bid was at tax deed sale, or can you just advertise and take whatever you get out of it?
I think you can advertise and take whatever you get out of it. And my suggestion to you would be this: instead of doing one at a time, let's wait a little while and get a number of them and do it all at once.
We got a lot of stuff.
Do it all.
I gave y'all this.
Yeah. Do it all at once.
10 or 12. It's just giving to the county.
Yeah, do it all at once.
Do them all at one time. Same thing.
I'll give you the next one. All the ones that's
cheap to the county. That's what I think you ought to do.
Yeah. That way they wouldn't be out there growing up raising rats and
fighting. And impossible.
We're going to ask the chairman to answer the question. Give them over to the county to take care of them.
Okay, so, yes.
Can you set a minimum price for your bids?
You always can do that. You can always do that. And you can say that we're going to reject any and all bids.
Well, now keep in mind, the last one I gave y'all, there's a parcel in there that's adjudicated to the county. The value was $300,000. Just remember, it's in that.
Mm-hmm. Which was a little high.
So well, our taxes are
money if we can on this lot. That's the only thing I'd be interested in, just getting our money back. Okay, so 13, we're going to discuss that at the next meeting. What I'd like to do now, since we have the students here and they've been waiting patiently now for an hour and a half, thank you. Let's go ahead and move them, number 16, up to next. Is that okay with the board?
That's fine.
Okay.
Yeah.
16,
the board to consider awarding bid for the sale and cutting of cannon pines and land clearing at the Perry Foley Airport to H.V. Tooten Jr. Logging as agenda by Grants Director.
As you know, we're making a recommendation that the bid be awarded to Mr. Tooten. I did speak to him prior to the board meeting, and he made a proposal that we actually have 25 acres converted to the grassland instead of 36.5, which is what we would need for what we're trying to accomplish. It would be the land that would be cut along Industrial Park Drive. The remaining 69.5 acres would be cleaned only without the stumps removed, but there would be completely cleaned. And that would leave the county with a profit of $73,000. I have received approval from FAA to not have to commit the money to a specific project at this time, but the profit would have to be put in a separate account, which I have already discussed with Danielle, and it would just be set aside as a separate fund.
That would clear up just the property that needed to be done for the solar field.
Yes.
Would be the only thing we would pull the stump out of.
Yes.
So the rest of it would be left, stump rot out. If we needed future use, we could have
it. Yes, but it would be completely cleaned. There would be no debris remaining.
That's right.
And Hank has already cleared an area for us across the road on property we own for what we do need to remove there, but we are going to try to see if we could possibly burn some of it on site to help out with that too. But the 69.5 acres would be completely clean of all debris.
So you're talking about burning at the airport?
If we see that we can do that.
We've got a ticket for $650 for burning near the airport that diminished the visibility.
Well, we wouldn't do anything unless we get a notice to airmen. Yes, and we have forestry on site. As you know, they lease from us, but we would not be doing that unless we had FAA approval and approval from Division of Forestry. But as I said, we already have a site available that Hank has cleared for us for the debris if necessary.
Any other board members for discussion?
I want to discuss. I want to first thank Lindsay for her interest in helping the county out. And this is the only bid I think we got, only viable bid. And I appreciate that. Now, I'm not a timber expert. And each of us as commissioners, we have a duty of care. If I have tractor timber, like it's at the airport, what a prudent person would want to do, you know, is to have an appraisal done on the timber before you sold it. Lindsay's price may be high, maybe low, maybe just right. We didn't do that. Now, if a board exercises its duty of care, I'm not a lawyer. That's why we hire Mr. Bishop. I'm not an accountant. That's why we hire Mr. Powell to audit our books. And you put this in the paper. We would not be doing our due diligence if we didn't ask for an appraisal, which is not that expensive, on the timber before we sold it. Now, I've had complaints from other lots that they didn't want to bid on it because it had the land clearing part of it. And I made a pitch early on staff, we should have split this thing up. That would have been central on Benji, and it would have opened it up to everybody. And so, Benji's already got a number on it. I don't want to put him at any disadvantage because everybody knows what he's already been over there. But luckily, I understand that. We can get the county forester out there. I think he probably tell you that growth of timber is probably growing, Benji, correct me, probably growing about 5 or 6% per year. Right?
At its age, 3 to 4.
About 3 to 4%. It's growing more than what interest rate is now. So if we didn't award a bid today, and we might say a year, well, the price of lumber, timber may go up, it may go down. But that give us time to get an appraisal, if this is what the board decides to do. And then you've got something that you can base your decision on. Jim, you're in the timber business. And I imagine if you had a tract of timber, you'd probably call an appraiser in first. You get a number, and then you offer it, just, you know, you, then you know whether or not to get a good price for your timber.
I put it out for bid.
Put it out for bids, right.
What I do.
But I have an appraisal first.
I remember one time in the past, they had an appraisal done on the timber, less than $100,000.
Yeah.
I remember when y'all got it done before. But the timber price at that time was low.
Yeah.
But then, I wasn't involved in it at that time, but I really can't remember the date that was or the timber price at that time. But I think if you come up with a high figure from the county forester, that would still be an issue.
Well, I don't think we'd use the county forester to do the appraisal. There are people, and Ms. You can probably give us a list of folks who do appraisals. I can name three or four. And they're not too expensive. Last one I had done, I think it was like $20 an acre. And I got a knife binder, get out all the facts and the figures in it, and we got this much chip and saw on that many saw logs and this much buckwood, and here's the price it is now.
But isn't that like any other thing that y'all do though? I mean, you could go out and get a building appraised before you bid it out.
Right.
You know, so like you said a while ago, a $200,000 building, you may have paid Michael Lynn $100,000 too much money to build a building.
Right.
When y'all set this bid up to get it done, we spent many hours, and we're the only company that actually
did it out there,
reaching bushes and coming up with an appraisal on that timber. If you don't want to do the site prep work, I feel like we still, we offered almost $2,000 an acre for the timber, and that is pretty substantial.
That's not a bad price.
It's, a lot of money that we spent, a couple thousand dollars.
I think about what the press is going to say about us if we sold the timber and we didn't get an appraisal. Mm-hmm. To me, it's just good business practice. And I appreciate the time that you put into it.
But you bid it out.
You got an appraisal when you bid it out. All the loggers could have.
All these loggers that have contacted me didn't bid on it because of the site work.
That was the commissioner's or the board's decision to bid it out the way it was bid out.
Let me just say this, if you went with getting an appraiser, then would you have to bid out the appraiser job too? Who wants to be the appraiser? I mean, we can't just appoint an appraiser, right?
You hire one, of course.
We can hire one.
We can hire one. We hire Mr. Bishop without bidding that out.
They can do a timber cruise on with that supposed record, though.
Yeah.
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 I guess it would be.
It would be.
You've already got a bid on it.
I mean, I think, Mr. Conrad, we've already done a bid. That was pretty much getting a flavor on the thing, I think. Or a timber cruise. He cruised it for himself. They all had a chance to cruise it. They could have subcontracted out all that work. I mean, they were just hitting one fool with it, I think.
Yeah, I just want to, say this, that if we got it backwards, then we need to learn a lesson this time. If it needs an appraisal, we need to be doing the appraisal, then going out for bids, instead of going out for bids.
Yeah, we got it back.
And then let everybody know what his bid is, which is not fair
it's
to
not
him.
It's not fair to me.
And then to say, oh, no, we're not going to do that now. We're going to start and back up and change your mind and do an appraisal. Now, I agree with what you said. We should have got an appraisal. That would have been the right thing to do. But I'm not sure that it's fair to Mr. Tootin.
I go along with the sale of the timber part. But let me ask Mr. Bishop this question if I may. Now, when you negotiate with your bidder and you change from doing the stuff so you change the acres, you actually change the contract. Can we do that, Mr. Bishop?
Yeah, you do that because you've only had a single bidder. Remember when you have, say for instance, you have someone who's bid on building the building, you know, and those change orders, and you had your engineer negotiate with him on roads to lower the amount of the road price and those kind of things when you've already negotiated with the bidder. So I think you're on good sound footing.
Okay.
to negotiate with the bidder in this if the bidder wants to do that as a practical matter.
And we were trying.
And you got a single bidder. That's the really the good part about that in answering that question, Mr. Malcolm.
Thank you. And, you know, I don't know what the rush is. If the timber's growing 3% a year, we can let all the dust settle and wait a couple of years with this Benjamin in the position. He put in a lot of time into this, which we appreciate that, Benjamin. I don't know, we just got it backwards.
Yeah, I take what you said to heart, and I appreciate what you said. You make some really good points. But next time we need to do it a different way. You've already put a lot of time and money into it, and you trusted us, and we have to trust you.
No, Chair.
Yes.
I'll have to say, from the frustration as a county employee, which I recently was, that just getting people to bid on projects, because some of it is so much cost intensive for them to go and drive here or you know, even with generators, it takes weeks to get a quote because there's so much involved. And we have one quote. Again, if we continue to do it, this if we were to wait, you know, until next year and not accept the bid as it is, then it's going to eventually get where people just aren't going to bid at all. I mean, we just have to make those adjustments to where, you know, we have an idea on how much the property is worth before we, you know, put out a bid, and I would hate to see us put people out and then, you know, the county shot themselves in the foot for the future.
And we did have a lot of loggers look at the site, and I responded to a lot of calls after hours to make sure everybody had the opportunity.
Commissioner Dents.
When we started talking about this, and I thought we had it all together, we asked for the bid, we got the bid, we need to go with that bid. Unless we have a reason to reject that bid, and I haven't heard that reason yet, why we should reject it. There's only one bid, and we got a bid. Now, if somebody said we gave away $2 million, I could think about that, but nobody said that yet.
Nobody's up here saying they'll give more money for the timber, that's for sure. Thank you. The people could have been right here in this audience and raised their hand and said.
May I ask Ben you a question?
Yes.
Would you be interested in doing this if we just sold you the timber?
Yes.
We'll cut the timber and you can bid off the
timber. Then we can bid the other part out, sir. I go along with that. That's fair, Ben. Then if you want to bid on the other, it's a separate deal.
Which way y'all want to do it? Like I said, I just want to cut the timber and leave, and somebody else can clean it up. I give you a pretty good price on my cleanup.
We cannot leave the site a mess. I mean, it is an
area. Well, I want to ask maybe the timber man. Now, I had to clean up my family, and I had some timber cut. And we got through all those tops and hardwood tops. We got somebody in there with a chipper. And we said, we'll give you all this wood, side contract.
There's not enough of it out there.
Then it wouldn't be that much of it. This, I mean, in our crop land, you got like 40 loads of chips. We gave them chips. Just get it out of there.
Right. The big thing you're going to run into out here is up till 5 or 6 years ago, what was it, 4 years ago? Putnam Gamble would always take a tree all the way down to a rat tail. Just get the green off of it and then go down to the stick.
Yeah.
Now, everything that goes in that mill has got to have a 2.5 to 3 inch top.
So you get to the top.
So you're going to have a piece from here to that trash can That's left over. That's every tree that goes into that hill, and it just creates a lot of debris that got to be hauled off. Or burned, you know, yeah, everyone's late to it. And if you want to get an idea of what site prep looks like, go out there right in front of Rocky. I don't know if anybody's been down 98. But that's what it looks like when you have the big stumps. It is a forever more job. But like I said, it's
Well, it'd be a lot less expensive on the cleanup part if they let you burn the stumps. You know, in place. But if you got a haul and a dump truck across the, that's gonna be the great cost there on the cleanup part.
But if you had burned them stumps, you're talking about bus burning there.
Well, there are people in the land clearing business that clear up these pivot systems down in Dixon County, Sanchez Farms, and then there's some up here in northern Madison County folks that clean it up on a per acre basis, plenty of time. So you can get a pretty good cost. Yeah. Not going to make any more motions today.
Is there a motion?
If he just cuts the trees now, and I don't know about this, so I'm asking, is it going to be a problem to get somebody to come behind him and give us a fair price when they didn't get the other part just to come clean up?
As Melanie said, it's an airport. We need to just do all that at one sweep. I feel like we've got that bid, and to prolong that, I don't know, you know, that's being wise with leaving it and going through a months-long process to clean up.
Well, you got to bid that out, and I keep going back to the restrooms and steam hatching. You know, we didn't take a bid because we thought it was too much, and ended up, we shot ourselves in the foot, came back and had to pay a lot more. So I just want to be careful that we're not shooting ourselves in the foot.
We need to do it the way we plan to do it, because if the solar field group comes along and wants to build a solar field, and she's working on that part of it, getting the solar field and getting up some revenue coming in from it, that would hold them up if we didn't have it cleaned up and grass planted. I mean, that's only.
And the FAA has also purchased based on the cleanup, and that we're going to keep this airport, right?
Let's face it, if somebody comes in and they want this property for a solar field, the stumps, or the timber for that matter, I mean, these people have deep pockets. They can come in and clear up the site if they have to make it available. So, you know, I think that hurdle will cross that bridge later. I'm going to vote with the majority of this board, whatever you want to say.
I make a motion to go on and accept the bid and go on with the program.
I second.
Okay, we got a motion by Commissioner Moody, second by Commissioner Gibbs. Any further discussion? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign.
I'm going to have to vote no. Okay. I vote no. And busy is nothing personal. It's just a matter of, I think we've got it backwards. And I don't see the rush. But, you know, it's just.
There might not be ever a solar field coming, but if there was one come along, what they told me when I talked to several folks who are coming, they don't want to move. They don't even want to come look at a piece of property unless it's cleaned up and ready for them. I mean, that was what I got. I mean, they base their property lease on, or your price you get for a year on how clean it is and that kind of stuff. And, I mean, that's where I'm at.
The motion carries 4-1. Thank you. Okay.
Thank y'all.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Okay, let's go now to county staff items number 14. The board to consider approval of Hampton Springs Park site host job description and host application as agended by Melody Cox, Grants Director. You want to go ahead and explain?
It's actually an item that she developed, but anyway, the Hampton Springs Advisory Committee by unanimous votes requesting board keep control of the maintenance park site and have an on-site park host. We've talked about that in the past. What she's got in this is a proposal for a parks host. I'm sorry to get
all of that.
We put together a security, as you know, is recommending by unanimous vote that we have an on-site park host. I have turned in a budget for you to review during your upcoming budget sessions to convert the site to have a park host. We worked off the application, which was an attachment also to your package, that the state has for on-site park hosts, and there's job descriptions, and we tweaked it to work a little bit better for us, but it's basically the same. But this is what the committee has put together for board review and possible approval moving forward with that. The committee has been great. We've been meeting weekly. We did skip last week due to the holiday, and we're meeting again tonight after I met with the board today. But this is their recommendation by unanimous vote, and they put a lot of time into putting this application together and work off of what the state did. And they've really been attentive to what would work for the county, very positive towards the Board of Commissioners. It's been a really good experience working with them, and it's great to have a committee so varied where we have someone that's in their 70s to someone that's 18 that's on the committee. So
it's a very
good committee and good ideas. The budget that was submitted to you had an initial cost of $23,000 to convert the site, but we used a high. We actually used a much higher value than what we thought it would be, so we didn't have to come back to the board to ask for additional money, because I've cautioned them it was quite a tight budget coming up this year, but I think it can be done for less by the time we do the pad. They added fencing to make sure that the park host was fenced off, but we only see the reoccurring cost of being $2,500, so it's substantially less in upcoming years.
Yes.
Thank you for your leadership and working after hours with the huge people. You got a good team working together there. I certainly support all your efforts. Just have a couple of questions. Now, we're going to do a pad, and then the host is going to come in with an RV of some sort. We're going to pay the electric bill and provide water. And for that, which is worth several hundred dollars a month, a sock, your water, and electric. They're going to work for us for 20 hours a week.
Yes.
Do the general maintenance, and clean up the restroom, and the insurance, stock, and so forth. My point I'm getting at is, can you get anybody to work 20 hours a week for the value of what they're receiving? I mean, I'm just wondering how
that's what Florida Parks does, and that's what the park host in Wakulla County is doing.
Well, an RV, or they let part of Park Service, if you agree to clean those cabins, they let you stay a week or two in one or a month. Get out of the house.
Most of their hosts bring their own, RV, and we actually use in the application the dimension information that they ask for, like your size and width and stuff. We use that directly off their application, and their application is an attachment.
Good. Well, we can wait and see.
And in Wakulla County,
if we don't get any checkers, we might have to. Mm-hmm.
And in Wakulla County, they're required to bring their own RV. The one thing that we did tweak is that in Wakulla County and Florida Parks, it is a 4-month stay. And we changed it in ours to be 6 months because we thought that would make it more welcoming to someone to want to be on site and take more ownership to be able to stay there 6 months. And then we had it where if both parties agreed, the board could redo it for an additional 6 months. But we didn't want it to go past there because we wanted to make it clear that this isn't, you don't just take up residence here. You know, we wanted to open the opportunity to other people. But to make it more welcoming to come here, we changed it to 6 months from 4 months.
But if they're doing a really great job, you have that option. But they would have the first choice to stay there if they work out really good. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm wondering how many people, and we don't know, but I wonder how many people a day or an average of week go there, because I can't imagine that there would be a lot of cleanup every day. If there's somebody there that's making sure that it's not trashed, just from everyday use, the restrooms. Do you have any, you don't know, do you, about how many people
do? Every time I go out there, there's people there. And I know when I sent Jamie to get pictures, there's people there. I know when Angela has been out there, she's commented to me on people being there. So I don't really know how often. When we were out there last time, there were some people from Tallahassee there. And hopefully once we clean up this site and start advertising it and have signage, it will be used all the time.
We need some signs to advertise that on 19 and 98. One of my other questions is, the last time I was there, it was really wrecked. Now, what is the plan to fix it, and what is that budgeted at?
Well,
the restrooms, for instance.
Yeah. I did not include that because I don't oversee the Hampton Springs maintenance budget. Hank does, and I'm not sure what's budgeted in that. I only budgeted for the host as I was directed.
I think it's about $2,500 a year for the operational budget.
But to go in now, I mean, are the sinks, are the stuff still tore off the walls and everything?
No, it's great.
So, I mean, where is that? What is the plan? I mean, you can't open up a park without that fixed.
We did include in our budget on the park host side painting for the restrooms, because we've all talked about how bad it needs painting. So we discussed that.
My plan would be to secure those restrooms until we get a park host on site. We can secure that park. If not, I would not put any more money into that.
Right,
I would secure them, and then when we get the site, you know, secured at night with park hosts on site, then we can move forward with that, because we're just getting good money after bad.
Right.
We're trying to address that problem now.
Do we have any kind of estimate as to what it would cost to bring it up to the standards when we do get the host?
We don't. I don't think the bathrooms are in such terrible shape they can't be brought back within reason at this time. But we don't. We haven't even gone.
I would spend any time to pay money for the host at this time.
And same thing with the pool and anything else that needs to be done. And the other thing, is there a plan to put gates out there so that the tenant can close it up at night? Or
that is where
the gates are. There are gates there. And they got, you know, they can lock them, pull them. The sign is, when you drive up there, it says from daylight to dark, you know, and it's supposed to be closed. And years ago, they tried to keep it closed and people knocked the lock off. That's the issue. That dark after dark business is what we have there that's going on.
The host would lock them
in the morning, and that would be great.
That's the biggest thing I'd like to see, is the host being able to secure those gates at night.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, what authority will the host have? What kind of authority?
911.
I mean, I'm not being funny. You know, that's what the committee has discussed, is that, you know, in the event there is something going on out there, to immediately contact 911. I mean, that's the best and safest thing.
Call emergency medics.
And we do say in the application that they will have to abide by county policies and procedures. And, you know, it could be we want to do a specific policy and procedure manual for that position. But we do refer to that in here, and that's one of the things they sign off on, is that they will abide by policies and procedures. They understand that, and any adult on site will go through background checks, and We try to be very specific to make sure. We even include that they will make sure they abide by the county drug-free workplace policies and procedures. We even included that as verbiage to make sure that we know there's a drug problem out there, that we're being very clear on that too.
Yeah, and I think we need a nice size sign that has park rules.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, you know, it's, we already have the times, but then, you know, no alcoholic beverages and whatever else you want to put there is park rules, so that that tenant can point to that sign.
Mm-hmm.
And it can say approved by the Board of County Commissioners or whatever. Mm-hmm. And he can point to that sign if he has a problem. And then if they don't adhere to that, then he has the right then to call 911.
Mm-hmm. They're going to need a red can put down there by the creek. They're going to have that unit up there by the halfway and then up there around the bathroom. And that kind
right.
Of
we have our last meeting out there to
all the beach.
And many of the trash cans out there are damaged.
Now we're going to have to put a septic tank out there, aren't we?
Yes.
Yeah, already
it already has one. It's connecting to it.
Oh, it is?
Yeah. And we got all of that information from Kenneth, and he's already
so
did
it. So we're going to use the same septic that the bathroom uses.
Yeah.
Close enough when you
yeah.
Let's
he,
say
and that's whose site plan we worked off of. Kenneth put that together for us, and we worked off of his site plan and his estimates, and then we added to those estimates because, as I said, we didn't want to come back.
First thing you got to deal with is the mosquitoes. Because when your host family gets there, in about 2 nights of eating skins, they're going to want to move out.
But
it was a meeting where we didn't really linger the last time. We were ready to go.
No,
we
didn't
get out of there. But we felt like it was really important to have it at the side.
Commissioner Spradley.
Melvin, what's your thoughts on the camera that you included in the budget? Who's going to monitor it and where would it be?
We included in our estimate and monitoring
right.
system where they can monitor it within their RV so that we would have cameras like that so that they didn't have to go outside if something was going on at night, that they didn't have to go outside to address the issue, that they could just call 911 to make it safer for the park host.
Yeah.
So the estimates we got, it is based on that they can have a visual in their RV. We want to make it very safe for them since it's a remote location. And I actually did a budget transfer because we had that donation fund of $500 to go on and purchase 2 cameras to have as soon as possible on site in an area so we could go on and we ordered that, like just game cameras. Especially after I knew that they're we've had so many people tell us since we started this that a lot of the drug problem is coming from people coming across the bridge. So I have already done that to come
okay.
camera at that.
Have you thought about a work schedule? Or are you just going to say work 20 hours?
Well, we do require them to give us timesheets, so we were leaving it a little bit at their discretion because it could be after the weekend. You know, they need to work really hard over the weekend on a Monday to clean up and then on Tuesday and Wednesday. So I thought, you know, we could kind of get that input once we get somebody on staff to kind of see how, not on staff, but the host, to see how it's going to
because I think about 20 hours
that's a lot of work.
In a whole week, 7 days, 20 mm-hmm. hours. That's the only thing required is that you be there 20 hours. So that's going to leave a lot of time. I mean, perhaps they could even leave and not even be there.
No, we require that. It's specified in here that you have to be on site. And we even ask, are there any days you're not available or any months that you're not available in the application? Because we don't want to get somebody that says, well, listen, I'm going to be living there, but Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, I'm gone. You know, because I want to make sure in the application, when y'all review them, that that's disclosed. Or if somebody comes and says, well, no, I'm going to be there in October, November, but December I'm going to be gone, and I'm coming back in January and February. We have that in the application to make sure they're required to work 20 hours and to report on a timesheet what they're doing during that time.
And to be present how much of the time? Is there a requirement to be present a certain amount of time? I mean, I hear what you just said.
Yeah, I believe we have that in the application. We can go through this application and make sure, but it was wrote with the intention that you are living there 7 days a week and have oversight of this.
Yeah, well, I mean, this is something we've all wanted for a long time, and don't get me wrong, I'm not against it, I'm for it. I just, you know, have some questions I need an answer to.
And that's why we worked off of the state's application to make sure that I felt like more than I did, since this is what they do, so that's part of why we worked off of it.
As a practical matter, you're not going to get anybody that's going to promise you that they're going to, they can promise, but they can't fulfill it. Mm-hmm. They're going to be there 24/7.
Well, and obviously,
they got to have time off to come to the grocery store, and set the gate, you know.
I think we're shooting for two, aren't we, Mel? Are we trying to get two people out here?
Well, we're anticipating that it's probably going to be a couple.
Yeah.
You know?
A couple.
Honestly, they're going to have a lot of two, but we expect if they're living there, there's going to be a presence, Mr. Thompson.
Better than what we got now, so let's go ahead.
I think it would take a real special person to stay there, but there's somebody I know.
Is there entirely from the view, like Craig said in there?
Yeah.
Don't get Cambo and Pet Spring, or whatever.
Well, several people on the committee are campers and do have RVs, and they've been very upbeat and positive about it.
Yeah, so. Let's give it a try.
Okay, is there a motion?
Motion to approve.
Second.
Park post condition description.
Now, a motion by Commissioner Page, second by Commissioner Spradley. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Item 15. The board to consider approval of proposed hazard mitigation grant program HMGP recipients and work write-up bid forms for the structure evaluation and associated construction work of 5 homes as agenda by the grants director. I think the first thing to do is declare if you're related or not.
I'm not related, to my knowledge, to any of these 5. I know a couple of them really well.
Not related?
Not related.
Not related. Not related.
Okay. Is there a motion?
I move.
Second.
Got a motion by Commissioner Dent, second by Commissioner Page. Any further discussion?
Yes. It's gone down to 5 now.
Yes, it's down
and
to 5.
And so I'm assuming that the other applicants withdrew themselves.
Yes.
We did not do that?
No, we did not do that. And we have not. We may have one more remaining. I don't think so. We just haven't been able to reach them, and that's what Stone and Christy actually went down to Steam Hatchie yesterday to try to touch base with him. But she was going down there at 2 yesterday, and I didn't have time to touch base with her today. But she was physically going to his house to talk to him, because we also need their certificate of elevations prior to all of this, so she's been working on that.
For the benefit of the press, these 5 people were not selected based on their financial ability.
No, sir.
And the second thing is that the county is not picking up the 25% match.
That is correct.
You know, and you can read all you want on Facebook about this. But the county is not paying for the 25%. The homeowner is.
The homeowner is paying their own 25%.
And the press wants to ask a question.
I was just going to say, I don't know what's on Facebook. I've heard there's been a bunch on Facebook, but I don't know. I personally heard every story about this. I have mentioned that the county's not paying 25% every story.
Well, it first started out where the elevations was turned into where the elevators. And I have to have an elevator. Mm-hmm. And so does Commissioner Spradley. So,
And I was getting ready to stress that. It is elevations, not elevators.
Elevations, not elevators.
Yes.
I do apologize for that.
All right,
okay.
They like that.
See what happens when you leave? Okay, we have a motion and a second. Any more discussion? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. We've done 16. We're going to go to 16A. The board to consider approval of human resources policies as agended by Marsha Durden, human resources director. We discussed this at our last meeting. It's all the same. Is there a motion?
Second.
Okay, motion by Commissioner Page, second by Commissioner Spradlin. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. County Attorney items number 17. The County Attorney to discuss requests from Taylor County School Board to place a referendum on the general election ballot for November the 6th, 2018, to continue annual levy of 0.25 mils for school operational purposes for the next 4 fiscal years.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Okay, there's a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion?
I want to point out, Mr. Brad, you're missing that. This part, 25 mil, is for the school board. And this has been done at the request of the school board and the school superintendent. And it's the same millage that they've had for a number of years. And they need 0.25 to continue. And the county commission is the entity that has asked that it be put on the ballot. All right, Mr. Commissioner?
Yes, sir.
So we're not passing on any tax increase to anybody. We're not changing the millage for the county. We're honoring the request from the school board and the superintendent.
Yes, and I got a call this morning from Linda Carlton from the school board. Telling me again, I don't know if she called any of the rest of y'all or not, but to be sure and to pass it on, just what you just said.
I called that from the superintendent, same thing.
This is just a continuation of what they already do, and we're just, I don't know why we have to ask for them, but we just have to ask. That's all.
Chair, I think, the key is that it's on for the voters to decide.
That's right.
The referendum.
That's right.
The, whether or not to assess
exactly.
It, not the board.
Correct? Put it on the ballot, y'all.
Put it on the ballot.
Put it on right. The November 6th ballot, right. Y'all.
That's right. So it's up to the voters. Okay, we had a motion and a second and discussion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. County Administrator items number 18. The board to consider approval of the master project list as agended by Ted Lakey, County Administrator. Okay, well, go ahead.
You got a question, please.
Well, I looked at it and I didn't see Ash Street. And I remember back when we discussed Ash Street, that Ash Street would be put on the list to be paid from.
One end to the other.
Yeah, all the way to 19.
Okay, we'll make a note to add that.
Hundreds of people that's asked me about Ash Street, that it was on the list, but yet I didn't see it on the list.
I didn't see it. I've never seen Ash Street on the list, but I could have overlooked it.
It's not on this list.
We never got to a list. We did discuss it a number of times.
There are several of them on the list that are part of the 5-year plan, scrap and stop. First Street and Steam Hatchie is not on there, and several others. So it appears that he stopped in the 5-year window. And I don't remember where Ash Street fell, but.
I have an explanation for that. Kenneth said that he did not give me any names within the DOT 5-year work plan where the money was not encumbered or pledged. So that's why, even though we have it on the work plan, until the money is available, he has not been sharing with me to put it on the list.
Okay, for the benefit of all the people that's asking, and I've told them that it's on the list, could we publish that list just to, I hope that you can write this up too, that we do have a list of these roads. They're not forgotten, they're just, we're waiting on funding.
And I think
people want to see that, people tell them every day. You know, but it'd be nice for this to be published.
And they're not road projects, but we do have some other items on the list that are waiting funding of a dead man's purchase.
Let me go back to the one that's the previous comment. I don't, not sure I understood. Mr. Dudley said he did not put anything on the list. Say that over again.
The way Kenneth explained it to me, and we did have some back and forth, was that he did not give me names of projects where the money was not encumbered by DOT. So if the money was not actually pledged to that project, he didn't necessarily give me that name.
Well, on Slaughter Road, the money has been encumbered.
I added Slaughter and...
And Gas Plant Road.
Yes, sir.
So that's an exception of what you just said.
Yes, sir, it is. Well, we discussed it yesterday, yeah. And I asked him what road, those two in particular. And he asked me how far we wanted to go out, and we went back and forth. So Slaughter Road and Gas Plant, it looks like the funding will not be available till 2021. So...
Well, this is different from what we heard here about 6 months ago. The funding was made available. It's to do it half of Slaughter Road. The funding was there to do the whole road, and it was built again by the end of this year.
I think what we should do is actually get the FDOT five-year work plan, yeah, and just try to lay it all out.
See, this is what drives me absolutely bananas. You put this in paper if you want to. You come down here and we have a meeting and we're giving information from staff and we're giving dates and we're giving times, and then the next time you meet, I want to say a tough word, but I won't. Next time you meet, the date's changed. The money is not available until 2 or 3 years later. And in the meantime, you've taken the information that you were given and gone to your constituents who live on this road. And, you know, the money has been made available by the state. We're going to do all the Slaughter Road instead of half of it, and the money is available. And the engineering work has been done. And I assume by the end of the year, let's say, we'll be letting the bids out. Well, the end of this year, this is 2018. Now you're talking about 2021. So what do you do when you go back to your subs? You say, they lied to me? I mean, I'm getting frustrated. With the way this whole thing works.
Is that something an engineer changed? I can't move around.
Who changes it all?
Yeah, that's what I want to
know. Who changes? Just like Spring Warrior Road. I've been told that was, you know, coming down the pipe. And I told the city it was the same way. We got it in plan, you know, to get to that. But I was hoping the Thorac money could be that big if we ended a boat ramp down there eventually. But that kind of gets me when you don't have I want to know where that, how it ended up around the city.
It'll be just like Howard Road. You've been waiting on that, Thomas, how long? Years and years and years and years.
Since before I got here. Yeah. And, you know, the same thing happened to me. Some of my roads, that like Alan Ellison and those that we approved to pay, and I was told it was going to be a certain time, and then the next day I get one of these plans, and it's going to change, and it's going to change. So who changes it, and for what reason?
Kim gives us this information.
Okay, does he have the authority to change it, just change it, and slide it down the list? Well, then that needs to be taken care of.
We need to get a handle on that. The list, are they done? He can come to us or come to Mr. Blakey and give us a list and get the suggestion, and then we need to be able to approve it or agree with it or have, you know, put input in it.
And you don't just arbitrarily just change it just because I want to.
And that's what I'm hearing, that's what's happening now. You're that time.
We'll work on the road part of this. Give you some updates. The steam hatching boat ramp restrooms, I think, are complete. We've got a final invoice. Steve went down the other day. They were painting it.
Was there yesterday, and it was not.
Not open yet.
No.
Okay, it was pretty close. And got some on this lease. The pier is under construction as we are discussing this. I think there's been some resolution of moving the barge as needed on weekends at least. All right. Under your small projects, we won't have to go over all of them, but we did add one to the list. The supervisor elections is requesting a concrete pad and a roof where her big roll-up door is, so she can move voting machines in and out, protection weather. We discussed with her that we are so far behind that it's not going to be an immediate thing. We need to do your building first, but it is on the list, so we get that in.
Was that not part of the plan? This is an add-on?
No, it was not part of the...
Right, that door, there's some millings been put down. Mm-hmm.
That would take care of Millen.
Well, they already got
Millen. Millen's already there. Yeah. And she's wanting, where you open the garage door, she's wanting a little cover.
Oh,
so that she unloads a truck full of
paper.
Just a cover.
Just a cover. Just a cover.
Just a cover. And I think, well, I could say concrete pad.
Concrete pad machine where they ring.
That's right.
They protect machines as they're unloading from the truck surveillance or whatever. All right.
We don't ever vote to count, don't we think?
Oh.
We don't want no wet machine.
Let's go back to hanging chads or whatever.
That's with it either.
You know, we couldn't laugh a little bit, Conrad. This job wouldn't be worth all the big money on that.
You gotta laugh.
You gotta laugh a little bit.
You gotta smile.
They could put one of them sunsetters on the side of the building and roll it right out there when they need it.
I got one at my beach house. Didn't come to save the money either.
That sunsetter was all that
was. And you click that little remote. That's the thing.
That's
the thing. More than the show. Just click the little remote and it'll go out there.
Huh.
And as the wind starts blowing, it'll fall up by itself.
You know, I sat there the other day and talked about going to the big top place and see if they might have something that would help. But
it was the best cost effective.
Capital Owings got brought to Mayor Timber and Sunsetter, and they come and do a wonderful job installing. And all we're going to do is write that big check.
Yeah, big one, too.
And
We talked about Public Works Building. We agreed to contract today on that. Harrison Blue, we met with a meeting the other day. We need to move that forward. We certainly do. And let's see. Host site construction, we talked about that today. And other than roads, I think that's another day we'll work on. But we'll do better on the roads. We'll get with Kenneth and have this discussion.
I want to ask you, do we have a 5-year capital forecast?
No.
No. That's something, y'all, that I have asked for 8 years. I believe
through three administrators.
Well, you're
I believe we had it through CIP, and I thought it ended in 2019 was the end date on that 5-year CIP.
I just want to see it because, you know, we need to have each department to get their needs for the next 5 years. If you're going to need a motor grader in 19 and another motor grader in 21, or if you're going to need a mower or whatever it is, so that we can be working toward all our stuff is wore out with many, many, many miles on it. And no plan since I've been here for 8 years to replace this stuff.
We're doing pretty good. But half the time the stuff sits out because we're doing readers off.
Or it's tore up.
Or it's tore up. Well, most of it's tore up. I don't have an operator.
We're doing better replacements.
We got another healthy workforce.
Yeah, we replaced motor graders. I mean, not replaced them, but we purchased a couple motor graders. You're buying a fire truck that's under construction. So some replacement going on there. We do need to schedule it out on a 10-year, 5-year plan.
Yeah, I want to see a 5-year capital forecast. And we look at it every year at budget time to see, you know, where we are. What are we going to do with anything?
Yeah, we are surprised we've got more surplus equipment than we probably should. We should look at that. You know.
Mm-hmm.
These cars that are just sitting there, there's cost of having to be sitting there. Right.
Option time.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Number 19, the board to consider approval of invoices from the City of Perry for the sewer impact fees and sewer utilities for Forest Capital Hall and the transfer of funds from General Fund Reserve for Contingency to the Forest Capital Hall operational budget as agended by the county administrator.
I'm going to find that item, but that is where we owe the sewer.
City of Perry?
So the City of Perry.
Remember me bringing up the question that the contractor that put the sewer down?
Yes.
What, when he went to get the permit, he should have saved the thing, and why that wasn't on the thing?
I put an email in the packet, but my understanding was that that was not paid. I asked Kenneth, who went back to the contractor, and they indicated that that was not paid. And from what I understand, it's not required to be paid at the time. From the city.
When you get a permit, they pretty much charge you up front. It's all.
Yes.
I mean, that's all.
Yeah.
I mean,
you go get a permit to put a top on the house, you pay that permit fee then.
Kind of a gray area there, but I don't understand them waiting this long even ask for the money. Don't even, it's been a while.
It has. About what, 3 years or so?
Right.
You want to come forward and talk?
Well, this was going to be a brief comment, Mark. I'm quoting the paper. I was here from the school district, and I just want to say
what's
we were
name?
In Ashley Valentine. Sorry. I was just here for the referendum just to make sure that went through. But I just want to comment the district got a $28,000 impact fee from the city for our new school that's not even completed yet. Me, you know, our contractor, architect, didn't know anything about either, so that's kind of a.
Oh.
I just wanted to kind of give up. We're mm-hmm. kind of in that same boat too, so we're like, where are we going to get $28,000 that we need to support?
My understanding from the city was that the county issued its own permit, so, and did it internally, which is why there was oversight.
Maybe a lot of that system changed with the city, hopefully.
Well, bottom line, we're going to have to pay it.
We're going to end up paying it. If we owe it, and it wasn't in the contract, if the contractor did to pay it, we owe it. And I'm fine with that, but I don't want to pay something he should have paid. What I'm getting at.
What I understand is that this was a tap, I guess for lack of a better word, into TTI's lift station. So it wasn't like an independent new system, and that's probably why it got overlooked.
Where are we going to pay it from?
But we need contingency to be moved to the Forest Capitol Hall operational budget. And the total is, I think, 7563 to cover the impact fees and the bills back to December of 2015.
Okay. Is there a motion?
I make a motion to approve.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, motion by Commissioner Moody, second by Commissioner Spradley. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Before we go to 1980, I want to take a 5-minute break.
Right there. Huh? Yeah, okay.
You
know about that? I'll take it.
Yes.
So I have questions. Reading the waste contract, they have an exclusive county permission coast for Kamako waste removal. In other words, another company can't come in here and poach on their.
It says exclusive.
It says I've read it.
I'm going to go to the next one.
It may be this next week.
Okay.
These will be in the fire condition.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Let's see what Commissioner Russell always complained about.
It's too cold.
It is cold.
I've been complaining about it for 20, yeah, since we moved to this building. I mean.
Okay. Under County Administrator Items 19A. The clerk to discuss with the board a salary issue. Madam Clerk?
I put a packet of documentation that you did. In March, the board approved the community services director's job description. And we also approved a pay grade of $42,000 for that job description. And if you will look in your compensation plan of your own personnel policy, it says infant pay rate. The pay rate at time of appointment to any position shall be the minimum for the position grade. The board needs to keep in mind that this job was a new job description. It's not been plugged in to your classification or salary schedule that you had adopted previous year. So the board has the authority under statute 125. Mr. Levy is supposed to recommend to the board a current position classification and a pay plan for all positions in county service. That has not been done. The schedule that you've actually approved is the 42, and unless the board directs otherwise, it's my intent to cut that salary back to the 42 that you've actually approved.
Would you state what position it is?
It's the community services director position.
Okay.
This is a matter that we need to discuss as a board publicly. How would these matters get handled with the county administrator?
Well, let me just say this. I've talked to the county administrator. I've talked to the chairperson. I've talked to Annie Mae Murphy. The statute that Ms. Annie Mae has told you about is the county administrator section of 125. It's 125.74, if I recall, Annie Mae. And there's two subsections with regard to that. So the long and the short of it is this, is that the salary of this particular should be, if it's approved by the board, it should be approved by the board, and it should be $42,000 pursuant to that. And I talked to Mr. Lakey and advised him that that was my opinion, and it should be told to the employee that it is $42,000. Now, there's one problem that was brought to my attention, is that it's already been paid once or twice at the increased rate.
I don't know.
Well, I think it has. I think it has. And there's not a whole lot we can do about, you know, we can do about that at this point, and it wouldn't be fair to the employee. But, you know, but being fair to everyone, including the employee, your other employees, it should be cut back to 42. And that's my opinion as your attorney, because you asked me for that opinion.
And the board needs to keep in mind, at some point, you're going to need to establish a pay range for that position, because you approved the 42, and the range that was actually set by county administrator was $43,763 to $63,457. That's what was actually put on the website from Rwanda when those applications were put on the website. So you didn't have any decision on what that range was made, but you're going to have to establish that. Because you've approved the job classification.
The range wasn't established arbitrarily. It was a range used by our department director's name.
It was what?
It's the range that's used for most of your departmental directors now. So it just wasn't arbitrarily set by me.
Actually, excuse me, the job advertisement is for pay grade 250, $42,000 annual. Mm-hmm. Pay grade 250 is not for a director's position. Pay grade 250 under the range is for, well, that is a library manager, but that pay range is 32 to 47. So I was shocked when I saw that this morning, but it's pay range 250, and I would assume that it probably would have been a 300 or something like that.
305,
but that's not what was advertised. It was 250. 310. But that she was hired under 310, but the advertisement was a 250.
And the 310 pay raise is how much?
310 I mean, pay range down. Is
310 starts right at 743.
43.763 to 63.
Which is pretty close to the pay that you have approved.
Well, what did we approve? How did we approve 42. That?
It was brought to the board and they approved.
The 42?
Yes.
Right.
They did that.
Right.
So we need to bring it back to 42?
Actually, the board didn't approve the pay range for that position. All they approved was the 42, period.
Correct.
So at some time, the board's going to have to decide it's what you want that. If it's what Steve says, library, then you have to cut back that pay range to whatever that scale it is.
Okay, now what was that about? We established a minimum. And
I think in that job description that you approved back in according to the compensation plan that's in the personnel policy, the board established a pay classification study, and you adopted it on 9/16/14, and it's supposed to, it's attached, I guess, to this. But that position is not keyed into that pay classification study. So at some time, the board's going to have to do that because he can't do it because his contract and statute says he recommends that to the board.
Right.
Go ahead. Man, you know, we had a budget coming up, and all accounts, it's going to be a tight year. And I don't know if at budget time we can continue to fund this position. You hear what I'm saying, Lord?
Yes, I do.
I don't know. My feeling is today is to follow the attorney's advice and to move the salary back to 42, which is what it should be. But then later on down the road, we may not can afford this position anymore. I know that at the library, they've been shorthanded. We can't expect Lawanna to do 10 jobs. And she needed some help over there at the library. And this was a good place to start and begin to get going. And if you're in over there, but those folks at the library take vacations. They're entitled to it. And, but if this thing's not working out, somewhere along the line, I see a lawsuit coming. If I start work and you promise me 49.3 and you cut me to 42, I'm going to be a little bit disgruntled. I might work for that, or I might quit. Or I might sue you. Yes.
Just to clarify, what Ms. Amy said, I did not put anything on the website. The job was advertised on Employee Florida at the higher rate. So I don't know what job description was put on our, what was put on our website.
May I see? Yes, if you come forward, I would like to say that when we advertised internally at the 42,000, we realized it needed a range, and that's where the mistake came in. So for that, we're sincerely sorry, and then we need to figure out how to fix it. But so it was advertised internally at the 42,000, and then advertised externally, it was placed within the closest pay range within that pay plan for that type of position. So the 310 is actually the library director. So the director positions are at the 310 range. So when we do advertise externally, it's advertised through Employee Florida and our website as well. So that's where the confusion is coming in. So it's advertised in both places, newspaper, which the salary is not listed in the newspaper, but it is listed on Employee Florida and our website.
And when you apply through?
All applicants, external applicants, will go through Employee Florida. Mm-hmm. And that's part of our EEO plan. Okay. So they all have to go through that.
Well, you know, this has just put us in a very extremely awkward situation.
Yes, ma'am.
And there may still be legal repercussions from this. And it's embarrassing. And I'm of the opinion now with, ever since we started in with this position, I don't know about y'all, but I've had a lot of calls and a lot of comments about the position. And on hindsight, I have to say I wish that we had not approved this position. I'm talking about the position now, not the person. I wish we had not approved this position, and I wish we could just have the library position that we had at 33,000. And one of the part of the responsibilities that was put with this position was something that was taken away from somebody that already had a pay increase to assume that responsibility. So I think it was a mistake to approve this position, and I certainly think it was a mistake for anybody to decide to come up with a salary range with the board not having with the board not being privy to any of that, and then, you know, we hear it out there, and here we are today. I hope this never happens again. Not much.
Well, excuse me, the board approved it when? March 5th?
No.
The position?
But I would like to tell you that I did seek the advice of our employment law attorney because that is her specialization. And I let her know that we missed a step in the process, and this was kind of the situation and kind of what we were looking at, because I kind of knew that the recommendation would come to cut it back to $42,000. And this was her advice. So for hours already worked, the Department of Labor requires us to pay what she's been receiving for hours already worked. And if we don't go ahead and pay, then Department of Labor will come back and make us pay. So
we've already said that. I said that.
Okay. So that portion we do have to do. However, the employer can make a change to the position at any time going forward. So, as we pay the hours already worked, as of today, if you choose to say, we're not going to set a pay range, all you want is the $42,000, then she'll have to be notified that's what it is today going forward.
What if we decide we don't want that position anymore?
That, of course, is always your choice.
It's our option.
It is always your option.
But what are the repercussions of that?
Subjective.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, if I may, Commissioner Pace asked about inviting a suit.
You would be getting
Boy, cutting it back is an invitation, but, which, you know, I think you have to do, but taking the position out at the same time is even another block, if you follow what I'm saying. Especially the timing of it, too.
Right. Well, you know, I just asked the question, that's all.
Oh, sure. Oh, sure.
I just asked the question for an answer, and you gave me a good answer. Now, I want to ask you this. Did you, as the HR director, are you the one that set the range? Or did Mr. Lakey, did you set the range? Who actually set the range from 43-something to 60-something?
Yes, because it was very close to that amount that you approved. And every job on that pay plan had a range. So I thought it needed a range.
It was the closest. It was what?
It was the very closest to that.
I'd like to make
a recommendation. If you are interested in not having this position, there was a situation when I started in this county in 1998. I started working at a road prison. There was a lieutenant there. I started in the middle of September. October 1st, his position was unfunded. He was given advance notice of that, all through the budget hearings. He knew that October 1st he did not have a job, and there were no repercussions or anything with HR or anything. So if you're interested in not having this position forward, that would be my best recommendation, is to not fund it during your budget process. And October 1st, everybody's aware that it's an unfunded position, and you move forward in that respect.
What made the job more than just about fair? It had a bunch of other things.
Yeah.
That was I remember, it sounded like they had their hands full to do everything.
Yes, you can handle the rental of the property for us, Capitol Hall, the Henry Grove Community Center. We talked about doing the rental.
And we talked
about Steve Hatchie. Steve knows about that.
So there's
some changes down later. She was going to manage his park post situation, manage your parks. And also there's the opportunity of having an unfunded position for library because of another dealership. So in the ultimate scheme of things, it may save money. So we're trying to look at all these. She's done some good things at the library already, so I don't think we should be talking about, you know, what she's done or hasn't done.
Sounded like to me she was doing a lot more than she was getting paid to start with when you put all those things into perspective.
It was more than the library director position.
If you're doing a good job at all those things, you've covered a lot of bases.
Yeah.
It was enhanced. It wasn't just a library director.
Madam Chair, I would like to see her not, she came in and has done a good job assessing everything, but I'm not for her cutting services, as has been discussed, for instance, and, you know, the bookmobile activity, and which was discussed in Steam Hatchet.
We're not doing that. We can have bookmobile again.
Well, you did. Call it whatever you want to. You have Lady and Books in it.
We're not cutting the services of the people in Steam Hatchet. The services to shut in, or the, they go down there and serve.
Could you explain to this board what happened to 5,000 library books?
They are in storage. They are behind a curtain in the library now, boxed up. What she did is she removed every book that hasn't been checked out in 5 years. She wanted to free up a section of the library to have enhanced programs. So they are in boxes. They're going to be inventoried by the library service. She's going to look through every book and make sure that she's not going to surplus to the Friends of the Library any historical books or books that are needed.
So they are. We still have possession of the book. Still now, we have possession of the book.
Yes, we do.
Yes. You know, you hear a lot of rumors and things. And this has been one that, kind of like the timber sale, we just get back up and roof up and do this thing over again.
Well, you certainly have that opportunity here to budget.
Your budget time.
You can move forward and say, this is the way we want to proceed or not. So.
I make a motion that we set the salary at $42,000.
I'll second.
Okay, we have a motion by Commissioner Page, a second by Commissioner Moody. Any further discussion? I have a question. Again, this is just the question.
I'm going to be like Commissioner Page. I'm going to smile.
I'm going to laugh about it.
What you
so
got?
If this board decided to not fund it for the next year, is he correct in saying that, you know, it's a good thing to do if you do it that way, if you're going to do something?
Well, I listened closely to what Ted said, and he said it was in 1998. It's now 2018. I would have to research that, but I will tell you that, in my opinion, that might be something that we may end up in some kind of
litigation.
I really think.
And you went through the process of.
Now,
okay, thanks.
Ted, well, what I'm saying is this. What I'm saying is this, and I'm going to sound like a lawyer, okay?
Yeah.
It's unfortunate.
Right.
You know, you can be a defendant in a case that's frivolous. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes, yes.
But we don't know whether it's frivolous or not at this particular point in time, because we haven't had this situation before, at least not in the years that I've been county attorney, and I'm not going to say how long that is. So, as a matter of just, that's something that needs to be seriously considered, either way, and not decided today.
Yes, right.
We agree.
I mean, you've got your motion, and I really haven't answered your question definitively, Pam, but you follow what I'm talking about.
You answered it good.
But, Conrad, I think all employees, when they're hired, they're on 6 months probation.
1 year.
You're hired.
That's true.
Right.
That's true.
You're on probation.
That's true.
6 months?
Mm-hmm. That's
true. Isn't that right, Mark? Ma'am, are they on probation for 6 months?
6 months, unless it's the fire department.
It's true.
So, okay.
Let me have a problem. Let me ask.
Go ahead.
Well, are we dissatisfied with her? You know, when you hire a person, you put them on probation, you can get rid of them for any reason?
I wouldn't say any reason that needs to be a fair reason.
But now, if you have one and you think that's what you want to do, then 2 months later you change your mind, just chop them off? Is that what you do?
No.
You normally don't do this?
That's why I said it was...
Well, now, what are we talking about? looks like we're doing something here that's not right.
Well, what's the point of having the 6 months probation period if it's unenforceable?
That is because if you have documented behaviors within that first 6 months, that gives you that amount of time to terminate with less liability because you had a probationary period.
You started the file with some documentation.
Well, let me help you a little bit.
Sure.
Okay, if I may. The 6 month probationary period is it's good for the employee and it's also good for the employer. In that, you don't have to have as much evidence to cut that person loose and then after the 6 months. Because a lot of times, after the 6 months, say for instance, you have evidence of a drug problem, you know, and you have the ESOS or whatever you call it. What did you call it? Yeah, okay. All right. You understand what I'm talking about there? You know, you have somebody that's had, you do a random urine analysis and they flunk it. You know, you don't fire them, you send them to rehab, they get rehab, they come back. Whereas in probationary period, if you did a random urine analysis and they flunked it, you can terminate them. Are y'all following what I'm saying? It's less reason for termination in the probationary period. And also, you find out whether they're a good employee. Are they a team player and are they doing what they're supposed to do and enhancing the job of the county?
Okay, I have a question. Is it true or is it not true that this person is on administrative leave right now?
It's true this person is on administrative leave.
Thank you. You have something?
I did. I wanted to just say that I think we're getting ahead of ourselves. I think we're correcting the salary issue now. And whether or not we maintain this position in the future, we still need a library director, I'm assuming. When this first came out, everybody was taken aback, I think, as far as the broad range of, and you know that, the broad range of all the responsibilities for this individual. So I think it's premature talking about probation and all those kinds of things, although we need to be aware of what the possibilities are, and perhaps the county administrator should come back and, you know, with a reevaluation on that position, not the person. The person seems to be doing a fine job as it is. That would be my recommendation, and as we get into budget and determine whether we have the money and everything else for the position.
One thing about it, you know, we have to work within the Sunshine Law.
Right.
So the only time we can ever discuss anything is up here, and we've had a motion and a second, and it was only the salary range, but at some point in time, if this board needs to discuss something, we should be able to discuss it, because we can't discuss it anywhere except right here. So.
But how long are we going to excuse
me? As long as we want to.
Okay.
I'm
done discussing.
But the point is too that we're so limited when we can talk and when we have the opportunity and when we're discussing something of such importance as this. Yes.
You mentioned administrative leave. Will this be, do you have any feel for how long this will be? Because we still don't have, your administrative leave, we're still short handed down there.
I think it'll end today.
It will end soon?
I think it will. I'm not certain.
You don't know which way it'll work?
I'm not certain, but it will end today.
Well, I'm just thinking about, you know, we need some help down at the library. Sooner rather than later. Answer to that. But go back to what Steve said. We got a motion here to deal with the 42,000. And this other discussion probably needs to take place at a different meeting a little later on. You know, and we've got some time, except we don't have anybody down there helping in the library right now. So I'll call the question of the motion.
All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed say sign. Motion carries.
And we still, we're going to have to talk about
at budget time, this position, I think.
I agree.
Item number 20, the county administrator to discuss informational items.
Notes. No policy note, how about that?
Okay.
Thank you.
I have a meeting set up with our Restore Act grant coordinator at 1:30 this afternoon to get the kickoff meeting on the POT 1 funds. You might recall that's the $4.2 million that we hope we're going to plan to do the dredging with it. So get that kickoff meeting and we're going to move forward with what it takes to get those grants. Terminate some of that money. And I had a conversation a couple, 3 weeks ago with Ricky with the FDOT. It looks like we're going to get assistance from them in the railroad grant. I'm waiting for him to send me something back, a proposed interlocal agreement where they will handle the railroad grant. They understand it goes. This train track goes all the way from Georgia, so we need assistance with that. So that's looking possible there, too. Okay. Those two good things going. Any questions?
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Item 21, comments and concerns from the public for non-agenda items. If you're here and you have something you want to discuss that is not on the agenda, come forward, discuss your name and address. Stan?
I can say hello.
Yes.
I just want to bring up something that came up during the meeting, and I have spoke to Mr. Blakey briefly on this. You might want to keep in mind that there are CBG funds available for roads in low-income areas. We cannot apply until we close out the current housing grant. But if you have some roads in your planning that are in low-income areas, you may want to apply for a neighborhood revitalization grant, and that might still want to be a progress.
We will have a problem. Okay, low-income.
What will that be?
Well, we are going to receive this in the next board meeting for four projects. We'll probably take a year from now.
I'm sure. Define low income area.
Is probably with I'll have to look at the guidelines on it, but probably households like under $30,000 to mid $30,000. The city had one of those grants several years ago and used it in a neighborhood off of Old Dixie. But in those grants, once we get within 6 months, you probably need to start planning because you do have to turn in a lot of demographic information for those neighborhoods and document incomes, but there is funding available.
We've taken advantage of that before in Jackson County. You have to almost go door by door and get that kind of information. But it's a good program, though. Get some roads done.
Anybody else?
With the city. With the city, that's how we got the road done right there when the lawsuit came up. See, we get it.
Anybody else? If not, we'll go to item 22, board informational items. Commissioner Moody?
Mosquitoes is out, people calling about it. I've been telling them that just have patience with the calling and, I don't know if any of y'all found out anything about the answering machine canceling the calls after a certain period of time or not. Did you?
I thought I forwarded an email, but according to our the department, they're not losing calls. I mean, this doesn't cut off at a certain amount, and she wasn't sure where that information was coming from. Now she did tell me that there are times where she may not understand somebody's name, or she may miss something. She said earlier this week she had 250 messages. So she said she would do a better job of keeping track of every call moving
forward. That's what I wanted to hear.
Yes, sir.
That's what I was leading up to.
Yes, sir.
That's great. And and then if they've got the tablets for people to throw in the low areas in their yard, we might want to put that in the paper that people can pick them up down there.
And I believe the CERT team handed them out, wasn't it over the weekend, Steve, at Dark Island? Last weekend they handed out the
flyers, but I don't know what they did.
I think they had a mission where they handed out the dumpster tablets.
I don't know.
Somewhere in that district. So they are trying to help us with that as well.
They hit the Salem area as well, I think.
Yes.
Sure. And the business with the Palmetto Berry, I've got a lot of input on that since we talked about that the other day, and that's going in the right direction, y'all getting that out for bids. And I say y'all are y'all working on that direction.
I've been sent some stuff on that. I tried to read it. It's a long dissertation on berries.
I didn't know humans could eat those things.
They used to eat them
a star.
Don't mention it, they might go eat them again.
You see them up and down. Yes, the
people.
We have asked for a contract to go by. We haven't gotten one. Call them. Because if we don't get it from them, we're going to have to draw it up ourselves.
Well, that's all I've got.
Mosquitoes continue to be an issue. I have very little confidence in that answering system for mosquito spraying. I personally called on behalf of the system. I left my name and I didn't say county commissioner, but I'm Malcolm Page. I'm calling for Mr. ABC, who lives wherever, and he's requesting mosquito spraying. And I told the citizen, you follow up, and you call. And that man called me numerous times, and any time I told him, you got to be patient. And then I found out, after I got over to the one, she comes to find out, I ain't got a call out there. So I'm telling you, it's a waste of time.
Now, our employee has promised to do a better job as far as her record keeping.
You know, I hear excuses.
Yes, sir.
You know, I've had this conversation. It's excuses. Why can't people do their job the first time and do it right? And it's not only, I'm not picking on just my seat of control, of course, but I hear over and over, I can't get this done because my man that operates this piece of equipment is upset. Or I can't get this done because you didn't leave a message on the phone system. Anyhow, that's all I'm going to say. I could say a lot more, but I got enough coming in the paper. So,
that person listed by that mosquito spray? That's environmental services or what?
Go under county, go down to mosquito control.
I'll text it.
83-8-3539. The other thing that I want to bring up, this is on a positive note. We was out at Snyder Lance yesterday morning. There was a ribbon cutting. And if I make no mistake, it was armored truck from it and Miami that is going to come and do the first thing. But since they got here and went on the website, I reckon, the information got out, they have a partner that joined them from Canada. Mm-hmm. And they're going to be not only making puffs for this part of the United States, we hope foreign countries also. They also have, might be in the bag, making bags for these particular companies mm-hmm. also. Mm-hmm. So that's on the positive note that we might be bringing some jobs here. Okay. Out of all the bad things to do, there's still some good things going on, and we need to stick a pin in that and try to help.
Anything else?
That's all.
Commissioner Spradlin.
Thank you. Scallop season's on a full bill. Steam Hatchie had many more than Keaton did. I'm surprised Keaton Beach was. It overflowed, but it was not the madhouse as usual. the steam hatchet was worse than I could have ever imagined, had never seen before. Traffic backed up, seemed like a mile. Worked with the sheriff's department, went down that day, worked with the sheriff's department. They, you know, and as people called me, I told them, you know, just need to give them the opportunity. It's the first day, and make the, we'll make the adjustments, and the sheriff's office has, mm-hmm. and so did the ramp attendants and so forth. I think Steam had, you know, like 250 $5 launches, not including, not counting all the ones who have their ramp fees, the ramp sticker. But anyway, that's going well. I want to thank everyone that's here. I appreciate it. I appreciate the board who makes some very tough decisions as we go through our meetings. And I don't know if you stress over them and worry over them and pray over them like I do, but they are difficult at times, and you know, I'm sure you, as I do, make good decisions. So I appreciate that and all the work that you, and I appreciate the work the county staff does. You know, and I appreciate you making corrections when we point out problems. Thank you.
Mr. Bishop?
A couple of things, more than one. Understand when I give y'all an opinion, a legal opinion, and then y'all decide whether what you decide, that's fine with me. Don't think that I'm offended by any stretch of the imagination. But I try to give you the best legal opinion that I possibly can. And if we end up in something that we have to defend, we'll defend it. A long time ago, I was told by our lawyers, say, don't say it's defendable. Just defend it. So we'll defend it. Also, I've got a list of 7 things to do.
Good.
1, do an order on the variance appeal. 2, a deed on the encroachment. Do an interlocal agreement or work on with the sheriff. Prepare a contract for Tootin if he wants, if he doesn't have one. Notify Ms. Ball about the, regarding the .20, the millage for the school board, and then try to do a Palmetto Berry advertisement. Anything else, y'all?
We'll see if we can come up with something else.
And the last thing I wanted to say is, y'all answered some really great questions today, which I thought were very, very good. And that's what it's all about, is to ask those questions. That's the job for y'all to do, so you can make intelligence decisions. And the other thing is to, nobody is perfect. Nobody is perfect. And what you try to do is you try to correct some things sometimes, and there's nothing wrong with that. I like to tell people that I make mistakes every day of my life, but we try to correct them, you know, and do the best job you can for your constituents. That's who you represent. You represent your constituents. And y'all did a good job today, for sure. And I'm not blowing any smoke.
We are dying of money today.
Yeah, you did.
Lawanda? Ted?
No.
Madam Clerk? Well, you know, I appreciate the good advice that you give us. That's what we have you here for, is to help guide us in the right direction so that we perhaps, hopefully, don't get into any litigation that would cost the taxpayers money. And y'all, you know, we all make mistakes. Nobody's perfect. You're allowed one mistake. But we're tired of this here over and over again. I'm sorry, I made a mistake. I'm sorry, I'll do better. Like Commissioner Page said, get it right the first time.
I do.
That would be helpful.
But anyway, mosquito control, I mean, we're all, I know, getting just call after call after call. I got a call yesterday morning about 8:30 from someone up at the river on Sullivan that had called me before, and he said that Sunday night when the mosquito truck came by, that it came flying by again. And this is something that I brought up Thursday at the workshop, and I brought it up before. Did y'all talk to anybody about that? And what did they say?
It's a training issue. And huh? It's a training issue, and we'll have to work with the drivers on that.
Well, they've been told, so they know now, right?
I don't know that they've been told. That was the response I got.
Well, more excuse me.
Okay, I want them told.
I did not go out to make sure. I mean, I did not witness anyone being told.
When we bring issues up, it needs to be something done about it ASAP. Because we've got people out here that can't walk out the door. If you go to Nuttall Rise and also in some of these other places, Wilder Creek, it is terrible. Shade grub in some areas. And, you know, when we bring it up, it's because we need something done about it. And that's all I'm going to say about that. The roll-offs. Are you aware that we have roll-offs that the fences are down?
Mm-hmm.
I'm asking this.
Fences are down?
Yeah, so you don't know about that.
No, I know about the, I've tracked the quantities from time to time.
Okay, well, we've got fences.
Oh, fences. I thought I said census, like people.
Fences.
No, I'm not aware of that.
Okay.
I went fences down.
Well, I know up in Shady Grove, and the fences tore down in places. It's my understanding that the thieves are still going in there, and when they can get through the gate get through the fence easily, then they're going to do that. The other thing, there's no trespassing signs on the fence. I went to Shady Grove Roll-Off yesterday. I went to Bernard Johnson yesterday and took look and made note that on the fences there's not any no trespassing signs. So my suggestion would be that on these fences around that we put no trespassing. Do any of y'all have no trespassing on yours?
I don't think so. Some of my fences down also.
Yeah, those signs don't cost that much. And then if you have somebody trespassing, you can call the sheriff. And he told me before, if you've got a no trespassing and somebody trespasses, that he can do something about it. So we need a no trespassing. I guess it would have to be specific of what time, right, Mr. Bishop?
Well, no, you have no trespassing sign on it, but you got to catch them when they're trespassing. You can't just, you know.
Well, we need to be catching them then.
Well, the no trespassing signs, to some extent, work.
It has to be specific in terms. We got a farm here as qualified as a legitimate no trespassing. You just put up no trespassing in the court of law, it may or may not. So they're making where you got to have it certain.
Those are specific ones that you're talking about. They have to go every so often, if you'll see those. But I was talking, if you've got a roll-off site, which is a small piece of property there, that's what you're talking about, right? Mm-hmm. You got a no trespassing sign on this property, which is the roll-off site, which is fence. And you're over that fence, then you're trespassing.
Right.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, every time metal is stolen from our roll-off, it's money to us. And if you've got fences that are down, and I mean, they're dilapidated, and I guess no one's reported to you or need somebody to be looking at the fences to see what kind of repair we need.
I do believe that in next year's budget, there has been a capital request for fencing. I don't remember which roll-off sites. Yeah. But I do know I saw a capital request for fencing for the roll-off sites.
Okay, well, mine and Shady Grove needs to be fenced.
And, excuse me, Madam Chair, I didn't mean to interrupt, but also cameras. I was working on that before I was promoted to this position. I didn't get to finish it, but that, I do know there are quotes, and that would go a long way to help catching people. So I would like to see that continue on as a capital improvement for next year's budget, too.
Yeah. And then at the roll-off on Bernard Johnson Road, and I know the road department's going to get to it as soon as they can, but I was back when I was out there yesterday, I have had more complaints about the pavement, its drop-offs and its holes as you come in and as you leave. So
it's scheduled for this week.
Yeah, whenever they can get, I just don't want them to forget, and I'm sure that they won't. You know, you talked about decisions, and it's, you know, it's sometimes we have such difficult decisions to make, and I do. I stay awake worrying about it, like this past weekend. I mean, I spent a lot of my personal time worrying about things.
I could sleep every night.
No, and so things do impact us, and sometimes, you know, no matter which way you go, somebody's going to be unhappy. For instance, today, with the decision that we made about emergency management, I'm sure that not everybody's happy with that decision. And it was such a hard decision for me. And I'm trusting that we made a good decision. I appreciate this board. We're able to work together. And I think it's a good working board. And to end it on a positive note with the jobs, that yesterday was a great day in Taylor County when we cut that ribbon out there, because I made the comment that, you know, it wasn't that long ago, the headlines that so many people were going to lose their jobs. And who ever thought that this quick that we would have a replacement out there? And actually, from the time that everything got started, you're talking really 5 weeks from the time that, you know, to get everything going. So I think that's wonderful. And I talked to a couple of employees out there yesterday, and they said, oh yeah, we were laid off, and we didn't know that we'd ever get a job back. And so they're so grateful that now they've been able to get their job back. So I'm extremely happy about that.
I am also.
That's our TCDA doing a good job. Anybody else have, I want to thank everybody for being here. Anybody else have anything they want to say? If not, is there a motion to adjourn?
I move.
Sorry.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Thank you.
Anything new on yours? We will. Okay. I was curious.
I'm just wondering if they will let me know, you know?
Well, you find that stuff. I mean, they know
I'm in the wrong direction.
Have fun.
At the golf course on the Kanawha River Bridge, part of the fence down on the bridge, and get that fence up like that door in there.
Good old boy, I love you.
but that way that means that.
No, we have, this is this contract, we don't have to bring it before.
No, the
commissioner.
Thank you.
Well, that did cut your hair.